Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Large black coffee.
Do you mean a venti?
No, I mean a large.
Venti is large.
No, venti is 20. Large is large. In fact, tall is large, and grande is Spanish for large. Venti's the only one that doesn't mean large. It's also the only one that's Italian. Congratulations, you're stupid in three languages.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
And why do you bow for that guy?
Because he's the king and he rules the entire realm.
Oh, my bad. Is that what he is or isn't whacking it to The Sims?
Paul Perillo.
You know what I used to eat for breakfast? Cocaine. You know what I used to eat for lunch? Cocaine.
What'd you have for dinner? Was it cocaine?
And Andy. And Andy?
The sun is shining, but you have lost the ability to take any joy in life.
Andy Hart.
You're just a miserable dick now. You're mean to everybody.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
I call myself the Booby Watch. Even got my own comic book. Adventures of the Booby Watch.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
It's as fancy world where anything is possible.
Sounds gay.
If by gay you mean the old English definition of fun, enjoyable, and carefree, then yes, it's extremely gay.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. What movie is that from, Kevin?
That is from the movie Role Models.
Role Models. Didn't catch that one.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, and it's new, so that's good. All right, welcome to the show. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium, and man, what a bye week it has been. I can't remember a bye week that's been so active. First, you trade Randy Moss for a third, and then while we're watching the Jets play Minnesota, which of course we're going to talk about today, Brett Favre, the Patriots acquire Deion Branch from Seattle for a fourth, and wow. We'll talk about whether that's good news or just mediocre news. We'll see what you think about that. But I like it. I think it's another reliable receiver for Tom Brady. Certainly, Brady feels comfortable with him. Branch has good hands, runs good routes. Don't know about his speed these days, but, you know, we'll see. It's another option for Brady, and they needed the depth. You can't just get rid of Randy Moss and not replace him with anyone, and I'm not sure if Taylor Price is ready, so I think this is a good move. From what I understand, they restructured Branch's contract in case anyone's interested in that. He had another year left in his deal. So from what I hear, he's going to be making about $3 million a year, something like that. You know, it's relatively affordable dollars, and we'll see.
Takes a lot of pressure off Brandon Tate, too.
I think it does, although, you know, Branch is a lot different player than Tate. You know, I don't think Branch is a stretch the field type of guy, and I think that's what they're going to be looking for from Tate. But whatever it is, I think that I'm not worried about this Patriots offense. If you know, I think if you had to ask me what's the main thing you'd be worried about in the offense right now, I think it's the running game. Yes, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis has had a good couple games, but going forward, you know, Fred Taylor, we're not sure he's going to be playing. We saw him go through the locker room, and he looked pretty good, said that he hopes to play, but we're not sure. So the depth on running back is a little bit thin. That's the area that I, you know, if you have to say what's the area you're most worried about on offense, I would say running more than passing. I think the passing game is going to be fine. I really do. Andy and Paul are here just back from the why do you laugh?
The passing game will be fine.
Why would
take away a touchdown per week will be fine.
Well, were they fine without Manny Moss before he got here?
Did they have a different defense?
I'm asking about the offense.
I'm asking about the defense because I think it's a team game.
I'm just hello.
Because the offense has to be good enough to win, not
okay.
Just good enough.
But the offense,
if you score less than you
the offense,
the opposition, you lose.
The offense will be fine. They have as many weapons now as they've ever have. You know, in the past.
I disagree.
By the past, do you mean last week?
No, I mean, you know.
They don't have as many as they had last week.
No, in the 10-year, you
know. So eliminating the Moss era.
In the 10-year history of the Patriots with Tom Brady, they have as many weapons as they've ever had on offense.
Okay, I can live with that. Yeah. I mean, they don't have the running game that they had in the past, but.
Yeah, at times, right.
Well, in the from 01 to 05.
It was shaky. They, you know, Antoine Smith would do well sometimes, and, you know.
Okay.
You know.
They ran the ball and played defense to win Super Bowls in 2001.
Forget about defense.
I don't think that was shaky.
But we're not talking about
That's
defense.
That's how they won. Right. They ran the ball.
We're not talking about defense right now.
Okay.
I was talking about
the running game that you said was shaky.
Tom Brady's weapons. You know.
So, again, you're eliminating the Moss era. When you say the 10 years that they've had.
Yeah. Brady. No, he's talking about before that. And I would agree with that. Yeah. I think they do probably have more weapons now than they did. Well, maybe the same. I would say about the same. Branch isn't the same player he was.
No, that's true.
And Givens isn't here. He's better than Tate. Welker and Brown, I'd say Welker's better than Brown, but yeah, that's comparable.
Right.
The tight ends. Tight ends are good for a while.
Tight ends are, but I think these guys are better.
And that's a big part of the equation.
We think.
But not much.
I don't know what Aaron Hernandez is going to be with a safety on him from the first snap of the game.
You know, even last year, I mean, I think Aaron Hernandez has 20 catches, right? 20 for 220.
18. He's
18?
Been targeted 20 times, has 18 receptions,
okay.
I believe.
Okay, so he's been very good, and I'm very high on Aaron Hernandez. I think we've talked about it last week. I think he's going to be a guy that you're really going to look at in Moss's absence. But, you know, last year, Watson had like 12 catches at this time. So it's not like, and Watson, to me, is a total non-factor in the offense. I think he was a total non-factor in the offense throughout his time here, with the possible exception of the 1 year they had no wide receivers and he had to catch passes. So the production is not that much greater. You know, it's in other words,
no, but
I think we're looking at it because these tight ends are new.
But the Andys of the world are looking for the huge drop-off, the precipitous cliff that they're going to go off now that Moss is gone.
Oh,
I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't want to speak for Andy. I'm with you, Fred. I don't think that's going to happen either.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I think there will be a drop-off, but I don't think it'll be huge.
Yeah, I don't either. I think maybe instead of in the 30s, they're in the high 20s. I'll give Andy this.
And will that win?
I don't know. In order for the Patriots to do anything this year, the defense has to get a lot better now.
Or the offense has to remain the same.
Yeah,
different, but the same.
Right.
In terms of production.
You know, but
I just think there are a lot of question marks on all these targets. I love their tight ends as much as anyone. I don't know what they're going to be late in the year, if they can maintain this through a full rookie season. I don't know. Julian Edelman has been a non-factor this
year.
That's
a big thing.
We're saving him.
Brandon Tate, I still think, has a lot to prove. Wes Welker continues to say, I'm not 100%. So he's still not yet. Roll him out there, and he's going to catch you 8 balls for 120 yards. And Deion Branch is not the same guy who left here. He's older. He's had some injuries. Slower, probably, based on all the knee surgeries. I'm just saying, no one's a given. A given.
Or Givens.
And Givens was a given. That's why I would... I think when Branch... that there was a period there, 04, 05, I think Branch and Givens were phenomenal. Not Moss-like, ridiculous record-breaking, but I thought as a pair of receivers for this team, for Tom Brady, I thought they were tremendous.
They were very extreme.
I'm not sure you have that right now.
Here's the word I would use for those two. Reliable.
And complimentary.
Reliable.
They weren't game breakers, you know? But Givens had that little post corner he would always run in the middle of the field, be wide open, catch the ball, fumble it at the end, but always recover it.
Right.
I thought they were tremendous.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm ready to quite pencil any of these guys into what they're going to be.
Because these guys haven't done it for a long stretch. You can't give them that label yet. Reliable.
And they've never done anything without Moss.
You just don't know.
I don't know how they're going to react to the defense changing. I think there are huge questions. You're right. I do think there are huge questions for this offense. I don't think the offense will be fine like you do.
I think Tom Brady will be fine.
The offense, I don't know.
Well, I think Tom Brady.
I'm with you, Fred.
Tom Brady makes players.
Shut up, suck up.
But I am. I always get criticized for being on the other side. This is one time that I'm on his side.
Oh, you're just sucking up.
I do think the offense will be okay. I agree with your larger point. Will it be enough to win? I don't know. But offensively, I don't think we're going to be looking at this and saying, wow, 28 points just wasn't enough to. I mean, I can't, you know, worry about the offense when I think they're going to be okay. I think they're going to be scoring in the mid to high 20s on a consistent basis. There might be a game I look back that they lose 31-28, and I say, gee, might they have won 35-31? with Moss? But maybe.
With Caldwell and Gaffney, was the offense good enough?
The offense, I thought,
yes,
was okay
it
that
was.
Year.
Okay, I'm just asking.
The offense was okay that year.
I mean,
I don't think that. I think this offense is a lot better than that.
You look at the seminal game of that period, and it was the 06 championship, and the defense lost that game.
I think the offense was a lot better.
I agree.
The offense is a lot better right now, I think, than in 06. But I think that was an okay. I won 12 games with that offense, and the defense wasn't great.
No.
The defense was starting to deteriorate.
Yes, I agree. I think that offense kind of was similar to last year's in that it would put up numbers and points. I'm not sure it ever won the game. You know, got that key first down, key whatever.
Well, that's
needed.
The thing with last year. I don't care what the numbers say last year about the offense. When it came crunch time, third and whatever, times that, you know, Brady relatively had success in over the years, he just didn't have it. And sometimes it was his fault, particularly earlier in the season. But as it got on, it was just clear that he had no one to depend on. Again, I'll use that word reliable.
But that's where I get back to now.
But
I'm not sure who's reliable
now. Who are
those
reliable guys right now besides Wes Welker?
I think that, you know, Parcells.
We haven't even talked third down back yet.
Parcells had an old saying. He said, you know, if they don't bite when they're puppies, they probably won't when they're dogs. These guys are biting.
Right.
Hernandez and Gronkowski are biting when they're puppies. So, yeah, maybe they'll fall apart, and maybe they'll hit that rookie wall.
Well, I don't want to say fall apart. But
yeah, because I think they're good players.
Yeah, right
I
now,
think
I mean, Hernandez is catching 18 of 20 passes thrown to him. I would argue that he's probably maximized every single opportunity. Same for Gronkowski. He had that one
6 out of 7
in the middle
right?
of the field, but he's had the touchdown.
Right.
I'm not saying they're going to stink, but they may not always maximize every single chance like they've been doing through
maybe
the first
not,
month.
Maybe not, but they're pretty good.
And now they're going to get more attention.
It's going to get tougher. Yeah. The road gets
especially
tougher.
Especially Hernandez.
Yeah.
You know, and there's already been a lot of talk about a lot of the first halves of these games, Hernandez has been covered by linebackers. In the second half, they've been putting safeties on him. Well, now we might actually get cornerbacks on him because the Patriots don't have this wide breadth of wide receivers that are going to shoot fear into anybody.
Well, I think they'll get open. They may not be for the long ball, but I think they'll be able to move the chains. And I think now,
but why do you?
I think in the past, you know, you worried about red zone production. You know, geez, they have to score from 30 yards out because when they get in the red zone, they don't have options. I think now they're content to drive it into the end zone, and they do have options. So I think it's a little bit different, and I think they can adjust. And I'm optimistic. You want to talk about defense? That's a whole nother story.
Okay? Why aren't you optimistic there?
Because I'm just looking at the guys on the field, and, you know, I don't see where the production's going to come from. Now, I could be wrong.
Rob Ninkovich, Patrick Chung, both had very good games in Miami.
They did. They had good games.
Let's
and
be
I think Chung,
then.
I think Chung.
Defense will be fine.
I think Chung, you know, definitely has an upside.
Chung had a great game on special teams.
Yeah, he had a pick for a touchdown.
And he had a second half.
I'm talking about plays.
But
playmakers.
I
don't think this defense is ever going to be shut down the opposing offense. They need to make plays. That's how they're going to win and lose games. Pressure the quarterback
and
a little bit.
And that's tough to do
and make
week to week, you know?
But,
you know,
they did it recently.
They have.
They did it against the Bengals a little bit.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be fine.
You do.
I don't know why you're negative.
Are you going on record or are you just being a smartass?
I'm going on record and saying the defense at some point will be fine.
All
with,
right. Okay.
No, no, no. Wait a second.
2012.
With the core of players that you have right now.
This year?
Yes. Late in the year. I don't know if it'll be too late or if it'll balance out the offense, not enough, blah, blah, blah. I think you have a good core of players on defense.
Okay.
I'm concerned about the pass
you're being
rush.
You're serious.
Yes.
Dead serious
everywhere except the pass rush.
Okay. So you think this secondary, as it is constituted.
I like the mix.
Okay.
I think they need to figure out exactly when guys are going to play in the packages. But I think the secondary has the talent. I do.
All right. It's good to hear.
Looks like Terrence Wheatley getting closer. He's in the locker room yet again today. I got to think he's knocking on the door to add a little more depth to that secondary. So even if Butler is kind of buried, you might have another body to throw out there. Because the Ravens are a little bit more of a spread, you know, extra DBs kind of team these days with the added weapons. You might need that. I don't hate the core on defense. I really don't. Except for now. Oh, the side note would be Robert Quinn. My guy out of North Carolina, suspended indefinitely for the year.
You talked about that.
A guy who I was projecting as, you know, if we had the top 5 pick from the Raiders, he'd be an option. Well, maybe now he'll be a little bit lower because I would imagine this will hurt his draft status to miss his entire senior season because of agent infractions and accepting $5,000 worth of stuff. Maybe now the Patriots can get him with, say, the 12th pick in the draft. dominating athletic presence off the edge.
All right.
It. Tar Heel, baby.
The Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-543-7482. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio at Patriots.com is the email address.
He's
guys.
He's replaced the burp with a yawn. We're keeping
no, that
him
was,
away.
That was kind of a muffled burp, oh. Actually.
Why are you burping?
We haven't even eaten yet. I'm getting lightheaded.
Did you find something like cookies? You sometimes look behind the TV and find cookies.
No. You can ask Kevin. So you guys just came from the locker room?
Ooh, slow locker room.
What kind of locker room? Like
very slow.
A barren one.
A barren
you were
locker
in there.
Room.
You saw it.
For a little bit, yeah.
There weren't really
they ran,
any players.
Gerard Mayo out just after the gun to make a little meeting with the media. Other than that, Dan Copen was probably the biggest
I saw
star.
Taylor Price walking through. I saw Fred Taylor walking through.
Yeah, I mean, there were a few guys, but no... You know, not a lot going
interesting
on.
Interesting that
no
we did
Deion
not
Branch.
See Deion Branch walk through.
Though I believe there's an 84 jersey in the locker next to Tom Brady.
Well, Kevin said he was also asked to go set up the laptop at the podium. So has there been any announcement that they're going to bring anybody out?
No.
No?
Not that I'm aware of. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe they're going to make him available at some point later today.
So it looks like he's going to wear 84. Obviously, 83 is taken by
84?
Wes Welker.
Okay. What did he wear in Seattle?
83.
Okay.
He's worn 83 in the pros, but looks like 84, and looks like he's taking that locker, formerly Randy Moss, formerly for a short period, Brett Ratliff, next to Tom Brady.
No.
He gets his buddy right next to him now.
Okay. Were you surprised?
Tom Brady, just a sneak peek for fans, I think Tom Brady may have done a sit-down with Michael Lombardi for the
he
NFL
did.
Network.
That'll be a Sunday morning conversation.
Okay. Yes, because we saw Lombardi wandering the halls, and then Brady was rushed down by PR, it looked like.
Yeah. Asking us where the coach's office is.
Yeah, Michael Lombardi. If I were going to the coach's office, how would I get there? How the hell would I know? I don't get asked to that office.
You don't know. We just work here. We're not allowed in that area.
Are you at all surprised that they brought in Branch, and do you think it was a good move?
It's the perfect move.
No, I'm not surprised. We talked about it last week. We'll see how it works out. We'll see what he has left. The injury thing is a concern. I know the contract was a concern. I don't know if there's any details about that.
I do know it was restructured.
Oh, so we do know that there was details about
and,
that.
And from what I heard, I don't have anything on record, but it's more of a $3 million average per season now.
Instead of five.
Did he get a year added on?
No, he had a year already next year.
No, I know. So what did he get? Did he take a pay cut?
I think so.
Wow.
Yes.
Man's insane.
He wanted to come back. He wanted to come home again.
It's not his home.
It's his football home, Paul. It's his career home.
Okay.
It's where he was drafted, just like Randy Moss.
And groomed.
You know, he's back to where he started.
Yeah. It is interesting, this whole full circle thing for both guys. You know, Brady loses Branch, and to make him happy, you go out and get Moss and Welker and those guys. Then he loses Moss, who goes back to his original team, and to make Brady happy or whatever, you go out and get Branch, who he apparently has been texting with for weeks saying, we're going to trade Moss, come back or whatever.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, there were reports that
wait a minute,
he began texting.
But you just said something that's very loaded right there. You said for weeks he's been texting him saying,
There have been reports about that saying... Yeah. We need to get you back. And we asking him about his contract and what he'd be willing to do. Now, I don't know. That's reports.
Right.
Does that mean they're accurate?
Yeah, I'm not reporting it.
I'm not Charlie
Casserly. I'm not Charlie
Casserly. I'm not reporting that.
It's news to me.
I think Charlie Casserly may have bungled that a little bit. Shouldn't he have just said, a couple players told me that Brady and Moss went at it, rather than saying Brady and Moss, you reported it as like clear fact.
Right. I think
I like it when guys go on and do that. I mean, even if...
Oh, I do too.
You know, because I want them to be definitive. I want them to say it and
see, I'd rather they tell me the facts, which are the facts. Two players told me. I want to know, two players? 20 players? Coach Belichick? How are you getting this to be known as fact?
Well, I like that too.
I think the part of it that I don't necessarily agree with is that the fight was over the hair. Now, do I... You know, I think
the fight was over leadership. I do believe that.
But if there were a fight,
I
could see that happening, and I could definitely see childish behavior over the hair, the beard and Tom's hair. I could see that happening. Like, a lot of people said, really? Do you think they argued about that? And I'm like, yes, I've heard conversations in that locker room that are so infantile that they would blow your mind. God, Andy and I have conversations that are far less mature than that almost every day.
Right.
You know, it's just...
Andy has
that's
it with
what we
himself.
Do.
That are far less.
As long as he makes himself laugh, he considers it a success.
Right.
So I believe it could have happened.
But so what?
But exactly.
You know?
So what?
So what? Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is 508-543-7482. Let's get to some emails, shall we? Let's see. William Barry, Paul's favorite emailer, he says, I have an idea on how to stretch the field if you only want a decoy. Brian Lowe. Build him up as a speedster with great hands, and on the first play, he is the decoy that stretches the field. We won't talk about the adjustments on play number two. Seriously, I only hear about how Moss stretched the field. Okay, he did. He was an effective decoy. Don't get me wrong, Paul Perillo. He was, is a great receiver who actually caught the ball. But from what I hear, his main benefit was as a decoy. Yes, stretch the field is what a decoy does. Hell, even Slater is fast and can be a decoy. So there you
Not
go.
Not really. No one gives a rat's katukus about Matthew Slater.
But somebody has to cover him.
Yeah, one guy.
He draws one guy out there.
And I'm not sure somebody has to cover
and,
him.
And, you know, if Brandon Tate is sent on a go pattern, and if one guy is only covering him, Brady's got to look that way.
Well, Tate and Slater are very different in my mind.
Yeah.
Tate was a third-round pick drafted to be a game-changing receiver who was that low because of an injury.
I'm not thinking that Slater's going to be the guy. I'm looking at the guy who probably will be, when they send somebody on a fly pattern, it'll be Tate, most likely.
Right.
You know, and if he's in one-on-one coverage, I think Brady needs to throw him the ball.
If he's open.
Yeah, but I thought that all along.
I'm assuming that by the time the ball gets there, he's going to have beaten the guy.
Well, see,
you can't wait.
This is the kind of thing that, even though I'm on your side with the offense, how do you make an assumption like that?
No, but you can't wait.
Could you not assume that Randy Moss would have been open last night?
And he wasn't. And how many times did we say, while he was here, Brady needed to get rid of that ball sooner?
No, you can't wait for the guy to get open. My point is, you can't ever just assume if you're going to go one-on-one with a guy that your receiver's going to win the matchup.
When you have a
especially when it's an inexperienced receiver who's really a rookie.
But when you have a scouting report that says your receiver is faster than the guy who's covering him,
doesn't mean he's open. Randy Moss is faster than Antonio Cromartie, but he rarely was open last night.
And he's on a flat fly pattern. Every once in a while, you have to take a chance.
Well, I think that's the kind of stuff that people have been complaining about over the last, I'd say, I don't know, 8 or 10 games.
I said every once in a while, not 5 times a game.
He didn't do that 5 times a game.
Well, you know, 4 times in New York. Let's see.
Wait a minute. You said bombs. He threw 4 bombs to Randy Moss in New York?
Well, 3. One of them was caught.
Try again.
What?
2.
No, more than that.
And one of them, he was wide open and overthrew.
Okay, so now what do? You just send Tate and never throw him the ball?
If he's open, you throw it. I'm saying you don't just throw it up there for him to keep everybody honest. It's not Randy Moss. We're not throwing it up for him to make a play.
When you have a speedster and he's on one-on-one, and the scouting report says he's fat, once in a while you have to just throw it, and he's got to beat his guy to the ball.
All right, that's fine, and I'm going to remind you that you said that when we throw picks.
Okay.
Because that's what we did with Moss, because we don't wait for Moss to get open. We just try to see if he can make a play. Well, now we're going to do it with Brandon Tate.
You can't wait till he's 60 yards downfield and then throw it.
Fred, I'm just waiting for him to be open. That's all. Whatever happened to Tom's mantra, the open man?
On the underneath stuff, absolutely.
Okay.
Chris writes in, I find it funny. When we brought in Randy Moss many years back, all the New England fans were saying there is no way Randy will be Randy while he's here because Belichick will never let him. The Patriots had him on a short leash. We are New England. We don't put up with that in our locker room, blah, blah, blah. Now that the Pats have let him go, because of those reasons, all the fans are up in arms saying, how can they do this? Wake up, people. What do you think?
Well, when he came here, it was before he had done anything.
You think the fans are still up in arms over this? I think it's kind of turned.
Yeah, it's kind of turned. I think it could turn the other way, depending on how the offense performs. Looking down the road, depending on how Moss performs there, and then once he comes here for that game. I think fans are not on solid ground right now. They're a little unsure about the season, the offense, their team, kind of the whole thing. There's uncertainty in the air, and I don't think fans like that feeling. I think they like when they know what's going on with this football team, and you know, kind of like Castle. You know, everybody, when he comes, it's going to be an interesting year. We'll see what happens or whatever when Brady goes down. And it was interesting. And in the end, I think they started to feel pretty good about what was going on. But I think right now there's a lot of uncertainty.
Well, welcome to the NFL, because this is the way it is for most teams every year.
I liked it when we weren't most teams.
I did too. But, you know, that's not reality. Chris in Los Angeles. I like Deion Branch and all, but if Deion Branch is worth a fourth and Randy Moss is worth a third, then I guess I just don't understand football. Thank you, Paul. Poured me my Coke.
Well, I think there was a limited...
Are these values that have been kicked around real, or is it just the situation dictated those values?
Yeah, situation dictates every value, the specifics of the case.
Yeah.
I said to Paul, I think it's kind of interesting. You could see now that they sort of traded Lawrence Maroney, their disappointment, their garbage, for Deion Branch, somebody else's kind of disappointment slash garbage, and filled a need for them.
Yeah, you know, I had a conversation with Mike Reese about the fourth round pick. He was a little surprised. He thought that was a little high too, and I just answered, "Why would Seattle just give him away? He's playing for Seattle right now. Well, he was. You know, he was. It's not like he was languishing on their bench and they had no use for him. They were about to cut him. He was playing. So why would they just give him away to help another team?
It was kind of odd.
No, what I'm saying is a fourth round pick. That's they should try to get something for him. I don't think a fourth-round pick is too steep at all. I think it's a good, solid trade. I think
got too much for Lawrence Maroney?
Well,
to me, a fourth-round pick is high for Lawrence Maroney. I think he's done nothing. I think he's irrelevant.
And if you want to get into that whole draft pick, then they also gave a sixth.
No, I know. Trade. I know.
I mean, I guess, I don't know, I guess I'm in the minority. I don't think a fourth-rounder for Deion Branch was too high. I don't think Deion Branch is going to come in and set the world on fire before I get criticized for that. I don't think he's going to come in and... You know, make everybody forget about 2007. I don't think that's going to happen. But I think he's a front-line receiver in this league. And a fourth rounder, I don't think, is an exorbitant fee for that.
The short answer is it's each individual situation. There is no – I know they have the chart and the draft pick values right. And everything, but it's
well,
each
I think
situation.
People are looking, Paul.
They're looking at, like, Santonio Holmes. It was a fifth-round pick, right, for Santonio Holmes?
Right.
But with a suspension.
Right. That's my point. That's why it's each – every single
right.
individual situation.
Just like Moss was a third-round pick. But
team needs versus...
He's a lunatic, right. And he's entering the last year of his
and
deal,
old,
and he supposedly
and
wants another one.
That's why everyone is so... It's hard to compare.
Right.
There's never an apple to an apple.
Right.
All things are never
equal. But it
equal.
Is interesting. I wonder what Seattle's reasoning was. I mean, do they have some young guys that, you know, they're ready, and they think they don't need Branch, and they'd rather have the fourth-round pick? I don't know.
Maybe they didn't like the fact that he's been texting back and forth with another team's quarterback.
Well, that could be.
And openly talking since the summer about...
Yeah, isn't that tampering, by the way?
I wasn't going to bring up the word, but we were talking about that last night.
I'm I guess if you're a player, I guess it's okay, right?
Well, why? Of course it's not okay.
Well,
you're talking contracts.
I know, but how can you stop players from saying, oh, you should come play with us?
Tell them it's tampering and it'll cost the team $500,000.
Exactly. I mean, the same way you can't stop the teams from doing it.
I don't think you can police that, and I don't think it's reasonable to. If it's done in an official capacity, then it's tampering. All right, we're going to take a break. We got a lot of emails. I'm sure we'll have some calls coming up on the Ace Ticket Hotline. We'll get to those right after this.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Gino Cappelletti. You're listening to PFW in Progress on Patriots.com radio. Really, Fred? My hip?
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriots season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Yeah, don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter. We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America and a member PIC. Copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello? So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? Jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I had this dream. I was in this, it was sort of like a cafeteria setting with big glass windows, and a lot of people there were people that we worked with and like on the travel party. So we're looking and there's this weather coming and it's like dark clouds and it turns into this tornado. So I'm like, everybody get away from the windows. We get away from the windows and trees are coming down, but luckily nothing happened. So then that passes and then we decide that, okay, dinner is coming soon, but a lot of us wanted to work out after dinner, so this cafeteria turns into a hotel. And now a lot of us have to go up in the elevator to get our gym stuff, because after we eat, we're going to work out. So we get in the elevator, and it's a bunch of people, and one of them's Gino. And Gino has no pants on, Gino Capoletti. And his unit is attached to his hip.
Hello.
And it was like,
hello.
It was like a weird deformity, like that no one ever knew about, but there it was. It's like, and my thoughts going through my mind was, how does he like explain that to women?
Why are you having dreams about Gino's unit?
It was attached to his hip.
I don't care where it's attached. Why are you thinking about his unit?
I don't know. It was just a weird dream.
That was story time with Fred Kirsch.
Next week, you're going to tell Gino this story, right? Please.
No. And you better not bring it up either.
I need to come up with some more stories. I'm getting tired of that one. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. webradio@patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the ACE ticket hotline. And lunch today is brought to us by the most interesting Patriots fan in the world, James Pettigrew.
Thank you, James. How are those donkeys doing?
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, we need an update on the animal rescue. How's that going?
It's so weird.
I love going into the pet depot, you know, when I get dog food and people bring their dogs in. I just love dogs.
They're
the best.
But I think rescuing dogs, bears, like donkeys would be so low on the list, you'd think of.
Oh, but they deserve to be rescued, too.
Fat girls need loving, too, huh?
Well, whatever.
I guess
you
donkeys need loving, too.
You know,
I just think I would think aren't they considered,
they're pack animals.
I don't know. I just think of them considered as low, low, low on the animal food chain. And for someone to care that much to save them.
You're real humanitarians today.
I'm saying you save them. Andy just doesn't, you know.
Andy's saving all the fat girls. Fred's saving the donkeys.
Sure.
Save the donkeys. The king of the donkeys, Fred Kirsch.
speaking of girls, what do you make of all this Brett Favre stuff and the woman from the Jets and what he did or allegedly did?
I could always eat your salad.
You know,
Brett would have took her up.
You think that he could be in trouble, or do you think
he's going to get suspended? Yeah,
you do.
Yeah.
What if she just says, you know, I'm not going to cooperate. I'm not filing a complaint.
It doesn't matter.
Just because
I mean, I think Roethlisberger got suspended. Now, listen,
I'm
not comparing the two. Okay, Roethlisberger. Well, the Favre thing seems like nonsense and silliness, but I don't think he actually forced himself upon anybody.
Right.
And Roethlisberger,
well,
allegedly did.
You could argue you're forcing physical. The woman to see your junk.
But I'm talking...
She didn't want to see it,
I'm
and
talking
you sent
physical,
it to her.
Though.
That's, no, I know, but he did force that upon her.
Now, if he says that's not mine...
But there were
mine.
No charges filed, right? So she dropped the suit and all that stuff. She
did
originally...
Did she ever have a suit?
Well, she originally had a charge... had to file charges, and then she decided not to go through with the trial.
Really?
Are you talking... You two, I believe, are talking about...
Oh, Roethlisberger. I'm talking... Yeah. You're right.
So... You know, in the end, it's a similar thing if it ends up being no criminal action taken against Favre.
Right.
But and Roethlisberger got suspended. Now, I don't think he should get suspended for six games.
Oh, no.
Do you one think game. One game.
Do you think it would come and down it, to where Favre
probably
going to
be Halloween.
Those pictures aren't me, and they make him say, okay, drop
Show
them.
It. Prove
Let's
it.
See. Do you think that would happen, like what they did with Michael Jackson?
Well, I think they can prove it came from his cell phone, right?
I would think, but that doesn't prove it's his.
No, I know, but Fred's right. Maybe they'll say, prove it. Is he really willing to go that far? Then he'll have to wear a Wizenator to because it'll have to be different.
He'll have to take his Wranglers off?
Yeah, peel them off.
I tell you, all the ESPN will be there for that because...
well, they've already seen it.
Yeah, I think
so. And they've
done
more than seen it.
Well, I mean, yeah, why, instead of going through the hassle of doing that, they just have the expert witnesses.
Right.
You know, Stuart Scott and, you know, all these other guys on ESPN. They can come in. They can identify
Stuart
it.
Scott.
And speaking
Chris
of that,
Berman.
Last night.
Well, Stuart Scott is the most embarrassing out of all of them. I don't care what list you're compiling. He's the most embarrassing.
You know, last night's game, frustrating because, you know, obviously we're all rooting for the Vikings. And there comes Favre, just like clockwork, pick six to end the game. But, you know, the praise that they're just throwing on this
guy. And that could have been a really damaging loss for the Jets, too.
Yeah.
Because they dominated that game. They absolutely dominated the game and should have won by three touchdowns. And to get it stolen away at the end like that, if the Vikings had gone down and kicked a field goal, that could have been one of those games that lingered for a little
Especially
bit.
Especially for an immature-type team.
Yep.
You're mid-bike.
Well, it's too bad. But, you know, the whole time... They're just, you know, what a warrior Favre is and this and that and the other
That's
thing.
That's what they do.
He needs to give it up. He needs to leave football because, I don't know if he's really helping the Minnesota Vikings, short-term and long-term.
But is he better than Tavares Jackson?
Yeah, but I don't know. I would think that he should have, at the end of last season, said, I'm done, so that they could have moved on and find themselves a quarterback.
I mean, you could argue... Much like the Patriots decided they were not better with the physical gifts of Randy Moss, that they are better without the physical gifts of Randy Moss. If you wanted to, I would think you could argue that the Vikings could be better without Brett Favre. Ball control, just run it, pound it, play defense, whatever you want to talk yourself into, I would think you could argue that you're better off without him. I don't know if that's right, and just like I don't know if it's right here.
But, I mean... I mean, what Favre does, I mean, he teases you.
Right.
You know, he had some incredible throws. The throw over the middle to Harvin that Harvin took to the end zone was one of the best throws I've seen in a long time.
He led him perfectly.
The first two touchdown throws were remarkable.
Yeah.
Dropping the one into Moss
Balanced
and then dropping
back
the one
out
the
with the one that he tried to throw to Moss down the right side, which should have been a pick six for Bromley
Poole. He had a number of passes that should have been picked, and guys that he missed that were wide open.
Don't mean to interrupt you, but they just placed Kazier on injured reserve to make room for
Ridge.
Andy and Paul, right again.
So Nick Kazier just placed on injured reserve. What is this, like something didn't heal the way they thought it would?
Yeah, they must have thought he was going to heal from that surgery, and it just wasn't going well or fast enough or whatever. And move on.
Interesting.
You need the roster spot.
All right. Well, that's he's done. So... You know,
and maybe they feel better about Conley too at this point. After
I was adding up, and if you include Falk, I think there's like 11 or 12 guys who were either going to start or have integral roles when the season started that are no longer playing.
Perceived by us.
Okay, you know, when you Mankins, Burgess, you know, now Kazier, Falk, Bodden. Who else am I missing here?
Moss.
Ty Warren. You know, and it continues, I think. You know, it's pretty incredible. You know, this has been a big turnover year. You know,
I saw they went from, if I read this correctly, according to Mike Sando, who's big on those Excel spreadsheets and ages and rosters and everything.
God, are those annoying.
As of last year's season finale, the Patriots were, like, top five oldest teams in the league. And after the Moss trade, well, before the Deion Branch addition. They ranked 28th, so they were the fifth youngest roster in football. Does that? Did you read that?
No, they. I think they just dropped four spots from where they were.
Oh, that's not what I read. Because it said they went from a high number to 28th, and I assume 28th meant you were really young.
Oh, really?
I read that the same way Andy did.
Oh, okay.
I assumed that
then
the same
way. That's pretty dramatic.
Now, they'll probably jump back up with...
A little bit.
No, because Kazier and Branch...
It wasn't just with the Moss transaction. It was after
the Moss transaction.
Moss.
But in addition to all of the other things they've done with all the rookies...
Sean Springs gone.
Yeah.
Whoever else. Adalys Thomas gone.
Right.
You know, other veterans that left.
Let's see. Jason Achieva writes in, just going to throw this out at you. What if a third was the market for Moss? I know it's hard to see him being the greatest receiver of all time and everything, but he really hasn't looked like that guy since 07. And here's what I mean specifically. I haven't seen him go up against a defensive back, come back for the ball, and turn a covered play into something since. Know what I mean? Without that, it doesn't matter if I'm covered because you can't really stop me from getting the ball ability. He's an incredibly fast receiver with great hands, but the offense cannot be what it was. I mean, it seemed like it was starting to go at the end of the 07 season even. Do other teams see that and say he isn't worth the best player I could add to my team next year? I mean, the Vikes we know were desperate for a downfield receiver. Even if the Pats really wanted to move Moss and were working out of desperation themselves, they still seem to have gone where they could get the best deal possible. It seems worth it to me to begin considering whether or not Moss still carried the value he once did. And just in case you haven't discussed it yet, give us your take on Branch in the offense. Well, we have a lot of time to talk about that.
He did have 15 yards a catch and lead the league with 13 touchdowns last year. I mean, I'm not going to argue he was the same guy as 07, but as we said all offseason, he was among the top five receivers in the game a year ago.
And I still think, I understand the point. The point that the email is making is, do you remember back in 07, all of the insane plays that he made?
Didn't he do that to Vontae Davis last year? Wasn't he covered? That's just one.
Wasn't that the play that he came across the middle and he stiff-armed him and went the whole way? But I think he's talking specifically about jumping for a jump ball. But I don't think there's been a ton of those.
All 13 were cheap last year?
No. Why is it cheap? What is cheap about? He didn't say that.
To me, if you have 13 touchdowns, you made plays on some of them. I mean, I can't specifically remember. I don't have a Paul-like memory.
No,
but he gets old. I don't think there's anything cheap about it. But I'm talking about...
I want to see all 13. Go.
The plays that he steals for you, the plays that he makes that no one else can make. Now, I would argue that the play he made last night for the Vikings is a play that very few others make. That play down the sideline, he was covered. Mm-hmm. He was covered. The ball came in, and somehow he's able to get separation, and then the ball comes in, and he catches it. That's a play that not a lot of guys make. That coverage last night was good enough to prevent that touchdown against most wide receivers, not against Moss. Moss has done that. He did it consistently last year, and he's done it consistently throughout his career.
Yeah, he has an uncanny way of just, you know, timing the ball with his hands, whereas a lot of guys have to get their hands up and ready. You know, he doesn't give it away. He can react at the last second. It's a disadvantage because if you're looking for those keys and you're defending them, you don't get them with Moss.
Well, he's ridden that roller coaster. He's been criticized because he doesn't fight for the ball.
Whereas
when he catches it, people say he's got this uncanny ability to keep his hands low late and not give anything away.
Right.
So it's one of those things.
I mean, I think we all remember that game in Miami, 07, where a couple times in the end zone he had two guys on him,
right,
and he just timed his leap better and just took it away from them, simply took it away and made them look stupid, you know?
But it was special.
Yeah, that was special.
I am of the belief all those things are just like this year. Chris Johnson's averaging 3.7 a carry or whatever. Last year was special for him. Those 2,000-yard seasons are special. They don't just, you know, run-of-the-mill, okay, he's going to do that every week and average 8 yards a carry and all that.
Right.
When was the last time Brady looked the same as he did on the deep ball? He completed, I would say, a better percentage of deep balls in 07 than he has since.
Yep.
Do we blame him? No, it's hard to do. It was special.
On the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482 is Brian from Brighton. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Now, is this Brighton, Mass?
Yes, it is.
Now, whereabouts in Brighton? Because I used to live
right down the road from where you from the taco party.
Oh, the taco party. What's that?
What do you have going on over there,
yeah,
Fred?
I was at Com Ave, 1288.
Yeah, I'm just down the road in the 1400.
Okay.
Nice.
All
Quick question for you guys, just because I'm not. That's all I wanted to know was, which fourth rounder did we trade for Deion Branch? Did they disclose that?
It's the higher of the two, whichever is the higher of the two.
Okay, is that how these transactions work a lot? Because I'm always curious when they say like the third round pick, and it's like, well, which third round?
That's determined beforehand, and in this case, Seattle demanded whichever is the highest of the two.
Okay, interesting.
Yep. So it'll be all 31 right. and 32.
Okay, that's all I really wanted to know.
Okay.
All right, thanks, guys.
Brian from Brighton, short and sweet. You just had a question, and we answered it.
Yeah, no, I hadn't seen that, Freddie. Where'd you get that?
That was in the reports.
Okay.
Chef, Freddie has said a lot of stuff about this trade that I hadn't seen elsewhere.
Well, it's true. I've seen it a bunch of places.
You guys got to read.
I didn't. You know? Well, we've kind of been tied up a little bit.
And I did skim clips. It didn't pop up that he'd renegotiated his deal.
Let's see. James writes in from Brisbane. First of all, it's great to have Deion Branch back in the fold with us. I do realize we won't be getting any sort of game changer like it seems a lot of fans are hoping for. But I think we've got a player who Tom likes and is comfortable with. Our offense now will hopefully continue to be effective through efficiency rather than explosiveness. I wasn't happy with the Moss trade, but I'll get behind it because complaining won't do much, and I think we still have talent, even if some of it is raw and unproven. That's kind of Andy's point. As for Charlie Casserly's report about Brady and Moss getting into an argument over hair, what a douche. I can see, and I really emphasize douche.
I noticed.
I can see those two having words about Moss not having enough balls flying his way, and maybe that being part of the argument. But to nearly be separated because of what of that seems absolutely ridiculous and above both of those guys. If I got into an argument with a teammate every time they or I made fun of a haircut or beard, I'd have severe brain damage from the amount of beatings I took.
Well, but we know how that works. That's one of those things where there's this underlying animosity, other issues at play, and then one little thing sets it off.
Well, I could see them having an argument about leadership, and you need to be a better example. And well, you're this. Why don't you shave that beard? Look at you. You got the hair. You know.
No, but my point is, whatever emotion was coming out at that point probably didn't start at that point. There's been things along the way that both sides heard something, felt something, and it's kind of festering underneath.
It's the point that I was trying to make earlier about. I can definitely see the immaturity level of an argument. How many times Andy and I will make fun of each other, you know, the fat, bald, and old, and all that stuff. But if we're having a real argument, and then maybe one of those things comes out, it's taken in a whole different way.
Right.
So if Brady and I agree with the emailer. I find it very hard to believe the argument was over their hair.
Right.
That's how it started. That was the crux of the argument. But I do believe that maybe they had words and that ended up part of the argument and escalated to a ridiculous level.
You know, and
I also thought it was interesting that Belichick didn't take the rocket shots at Charlie Casserly that he did last year.
Yeah.
Well, when it came out later that what Casserly was reporting may
was
have been
still
decent
just
accurate.
Presenting the facts.
Yeah, it wasn't accurate, though. But I guess
the best missed show you've ever had.
Whatever happened, I guess they've made up because Randy Moss talked about getting texted by Brady after the game and thanked him for the text. And
sorry we couldn't do it for you
because clearly beat the Jets.
Obviously, he goes, "I'm not going to get into what that was about," but you know, sorry we. I mean, clearly it was like, "Hey, beat those bleepers."
Yeah. Maybe he needed him to pick something up at the mall in Minnesota, and he couldn't do it for him.
The mall, they have everything there.
Yeah. Let's see, Preston from Brockton, we talk about that 06 game where I said, you know, the defense kind of lost it in the second half. He says in that game, the O didn't score in the second half and the D got tired. Well, the D got tired, but the offense had done a lot already. I mean,
the offense was okay in that game,
but they had a 24 point.
They had a big lead, but the offense didn't do a ton to get that lead. They returned an interception for a touchdown. They had a long, kickoff return that set up another touchdown. The offense wasn't bad.
Yep.
I mean, the offense still scored like 20, you know, 24 points or whatever, something like that. The offense was fine that day, and they lost because of defense. No two ways about it.
Let's see. Marquise from D.C. says, "You guys are such negative Nancys. Can you find anything positive to talk about to start the show? Moss is gone. Wine, wine, wine. Everybody sucks. They can't do it without Moss. The defense sucks. The young tight ends are unproven. Tate still has so much to prove. Brants has lost five steps. Welker's knee's not right. And no one is reliable. Oh, my. Let's just give up.
Okay.
You all actually compared Hernandez.
I think it's too early for that.
You all actually compared Hernandez to Ben Watson? Are you freaking kidding me? They have completely two different skill sets, and Hernandez has already shown he is much more versatile and explosive than Watson ever was. The glass is always half empty on this show. I agree, Marquise. I had to bring in Pete Shepard to balance things out.
Stop it, friend. Because first of all, just to recap the first 50 minutes of the show, you started off by saying you think the offense is going to be fine. Andy had questions about it, and I said what? I agree with you.
Yeah, Paul, you agreed with
Andy me. Followed that up by saying he thinks the defense is going to be fine, which I don't really agree with, but I didn't say anything about it. So where exactly was the overwhelming negativity there?
Andy.
What? So two guys think the offense is going to be fine. One guy has questions, but that's negativity?
Andy's big head dominates.
Okay, and I would also say...
That's true.
While I don't think that Benjamin Watson is a very good football player, athletically, who do you take over Ben Watson?
Yeah, but that was proven that his athleticism didn't do us a lot of...
So let's not talk about versatility and all these other things then.
Well, hold on.
If you want to say Aaron Hernandez is a better player, I agree.
Put the ball in
either... If you want to tell me which one's the better athlete, Ben Watson, yeah. 6 days a week,
twice on
Sunday.
Well, what good did that do you?
All I pointed out was their production through the first four games of the season was similar. That's all.
From what you know of Ben Watson and what you think you know about Hernandez, put the ball in...
I don't know anything about Hernandez. That's the point.
Put the ball in either one of those guys' hands. Who do you think's going to do more with it?
Put the ball? Do I actually get to
put the ball?
Yeah. Maybe even duct tape it to his hand?
Well, just throw the ball to him.
Because his biggest
Hernandez,
issue
throw
was
the ball.
Catching it and keeping it.
Who would I want to throw it to? Hernandez.
Watson. His biggest issue was catching it and keeping it. So if you allow me to actually put it in his hand, but I might take him.
Because
Hernandez does is cut back to the inside.
Who do I want to throw it to?
Oh, see, now you're being negative. Now you don't even believe your own you-know-what.
But wait, who do I want to throw the ball to? Hernandez.
No,
I think Hernandez is better.
Who do you think, once he has it, can do more with it? Hernandez
that's
or Watson?
That's a wash to me.
Oh, please.
If you have Watson,
Watson
in space,
was a straight line runner, period.
And he was a truck.
Period.
But he dropped the ball all the time.
It.
I would rather have it in Hernandez's hands.
Sometimes
right.
When he
so
had it.
My point is, what good was Watson's athleticism? None.
Oh, wait a minute. You're missing
We're
the whole
Aaron
point.
Hernandez in Canton after four games.
Your whole point is missed, Fred.
Yes.
The point, we're trying to say the versatility that Hernandez has. Watson had versatility to do all those things. He just didn't do them.
And he lined up in every slot that Hernandez has.
Then
so don't
I
tell
have
me he didn't.
I don't know what Hernandez is going to do. He's played four games.
Okay.
That's the only point that we were trying to make.
All right. All right.
Who would I rather throw the ball to right now based on what I know? Hernandez.
You can choose.
He's a better receiver.
You can choose one of two players, Hernandez or Watson. Who do you choose?
For what?
To be your tight end.
For what? What am I doing? Am I running the ball? It's Watson. True. Am I passing the ball? Hernandez. This is my point about versatility. Versatility to you means he can run with the ball in his hands. Versatility to me means a lot of things.
From what I understand, he made a couple good blocks in the last couple games, too.
Well, I don't know where you're understanding that from, because he's rarely used as a blocker at all.
Well, downfield.
He's a wide receiver, exactly. He's a slot receiver. That's part of the issue. Well, you know, I see these things where everybody's putting statistically the Patriots aren't using spread sets as much because they have more tight ends. Well, you're including Hernandez as a tight end when in reality,
he's not.
As we saw in training camp, he went to all the positional drills.
All I know is that while he was here.
I agree. That's all you know.
While he was here, you guys killed Watson.
Right.
I don't like
Watson. Because
he can't
catch the football.
I don't like Watson at all. You're asking me who the better player is?
He can't
Hernandez.
Catch the football.
Thank you. That's all I wanted to know.
But you didn't. But no.
Versatility-wise,
you asked me a question. Who would I rather have at tight end, and I need to know what the play is. I need
catching
to know what
football,
you want me to do.
It's 100-0 for Hernandez.
Overall, you can choose one. Who would you choose?
I would choose Hernandez because I think he gives you more in the passing
thank
game.
You. Thank you.
I don't really care about the blocking
issue,
as much.
Not the
Bill,
running
Bill
or
might not say that. Bill might want blocking.
Okay.
But so I think he thinks he has the blocking with Crumpler.
I was just going to say, if you have Crumpler and you could choose one of two, Watson or Hernandez.
But again, you're missing the whole point. Okay. The argument was about... You know, I know that Watson's not a Patriot anymore. And yes, you're right. Andy and Paul did criticize Watson a lot, but Fred didn't. And neither did the guys who wrote into this show.
Well, eventually did.
But now he's in Cleveland,
he
so
left.
It's allowed to.
No, before he left.
So we're allowed to
we
criticize
used to say
him.
You had to throw to him four times to get one catch up.
I thought Watson was a waste. I didn't think he was anywhere near as good as people thought he was. I thought he didn't have the skill set that people thought he did in terms of being able to catch the football.
And aren't you glad now you have,
but
you know,
in terms of versatility and being able to use him in a variety of ways, he could do them all. He just wasn't that good at it.
Are you really all in on Hernandez after four games?
I'm happy we have him.
Me too.
And I'm happy
he's done exactly what we thought he would do.
And I'm happy we have.
I'm very happy with Hernandez. I continue to say I think he will be the number two receiver going forward.
Four games in, we're putting him in Canton.
Eric from Brooklyn says, I think the fourth rounder for Branch is fine. People are comparing it to the Moss trade and saying that the Pats gave up too much. The trades can't be compared, as clearly the Moss trade was for less than fair value. Two, do you guys smell any tampering?
Why?
What?
Why is that? I mean, why is that okay?
What okay?
Why was it clearly less than market value?
That's Eric's. So now do you want to counter that? You think it wasn't? You think that's what he's worth? Three?
No, I don't know. But why do we make these blanket assumptions? How do you know what the other teams are willing to give? Do we shop him?
How do we know
his market value was?
I don't know.
Maybe his market value was a third-round pick.
I mean, don't you think that the Patriots would be smart to let other teams know that this guy's available?
Yeah.
And I'm sure they did that.
Why?
Well, unless you just went to the
you're
team.
You're not doing your job if you don't
well, maybe
do
they just got to the point where they needed to do it.
Or maybe they just went to the team they thought most likely, most desperate,
but
most willing to do.
Apparently they were talking
good.
About
sold.
This since the beginning of the season.
And maybe Minnesota said, you know what? We got a deal right now, but if you go shopping to the highest bidder, we're
right.
out.
Or people know you're shopping him, that hurts his value. If you're trying to unload him.
Well, I mean.
In other words, I think it's a blanket assumption to say he got below market value.
Did you know we're on at 5?
Because you continue to make.
Eric, this is Eric from Brooklyn. I didn't even say it.
No, but you're saying that we're argumentative. You keep saying, well, what's wrong with that? How do we know that that's. Why is it okay to give a fourth round pick while only getting a third round pick for a better receiver by simply saying, well, that's okay because we know that that was below market value? For Moss.
We were willing to accept it.
So why is that okay is my point, I guess. I'm not arguing whether or not it was market value. Why is that
okay? I don't think Eric is saying it was okay. I think he was just trying to...
Reread the beginning of that. Maybe I missed it, and I'll apologize to Eric.
He says, I think the fourth rounder for Branch is fine.
What's the next line?
People are comparing it to the Moss trade and saying that the Pats gave up too much. The trades can't be compared. As clearly the Moss trade was for less than fair value.
Yeah, that's the part I don't understand.
Okay.
Why is that okay? Why can the trades not be compared because you didn't get market value for the guy you traded? That's
I
my
think
only
you got
thing.
Market that, value. That's what the
market
value.
That's the only thing I don't get on that. No disrespect to Eric.
No, but
I'm not trying to be argumentative.
I
don't understand
what I think Eric is saying is that don't get all up in arms because.
I'm not. I think a fourth round pick for Branch is fine. I'm not up in arms at all.
He agrees with
but
you.
It has nothing to do with the Moss trade. I think Branch is worth the fourth round pick.
I know you're not trying to be argumentative. I think it just comes naturally.
It does come naturally to me because you guys just make blanket assumptions.
Me?
Why are Fred and I getting lumped in for Eric?
Sorry, Fred in the email.
I didn't say anything.
Fred, blanket assumption, everything is going to be fine. You know, everything's good.
But the bigger point is what you said. It's everyone is different. I mean, Anquan Boldin's was a second and something. Brandon Marshall was two twos.
Right.
Everyone is different. The age, the contract, it all comes into play. Whether they have baggage, whether they'll be suspended, like Santonio Holmes. There's all
and the leverage the team
factors.
Has. You know, if the Patriots really, really, really felt they had to unload this guy, maybe you have to accept a third.
Which is why I think there's a chance
AJ,
you don't shop it.
AJ Smith in San Diego is holding
crazy.
On to Vincent Jackson like grim death.
I think that's all about spite. He doesn't want him to play.
Could be.
At some point, doesn't the owner just come in and say, I know you're in a pissing contest with this guy, but can you get value out of him before we just lose him?
Right. I agree.
The second thing Eric says that Paul will disagree with is, do you guys smell... Don't
put the cart before the horse.
Do you guys smell any tampering in the Branch trade? We heard that the Brady reached out to him a few weeks ago. Now, would Brady do that if he didn't know they would need him?
Fred thinks that's
Fred's
fine.
Okay with that.
Fred thinks that's fine.
Think
that happens
is.
Every day.
Does that amount to Brady acting on behalf of management tantamount to tampering? Well, you know.
That could be
argued. We talked about that. And three, right now I count 54 guys on the roster who gets cut. Does Ojanaka make another trip to the practice squad? If you missed it, Nick Kazier got put on IR. So,
after not practicing since July 30th or something like that?
Yeah. 31st, whatever that, like, second day of camp was?
30th, I think.
PJ and Philly.
I didn't disagree with that one, Fred.
No.
Eric, don't let Fred beat you down, Eric. I just was a little confused.
You should say that. That should be a Paul soundbite. I'm not trying to be argumentative.
He's not a woman.
It just comes naturally.
PJ in Philly says, I'm sure you've been talking a lot about Randy Moss and Deion Branch today. I have to say that I am tired of all the reports about Brady and Moss fighting and then not fighting. It's getting ridiculous. I really don't care. Moss is not a Patriot anymore. End of story. I'm sad to see him go because he proved me wrong during his tenure here. I didn't want him 4 years ago, and I think he turned out to be a good influence and team leader from what you guys said you saw in the locker room. Anyway, Andy brought up the fact that saying hey, as in the Patriots are favored by 3.5, is a bit, I don't know, a little gay, as well Wes Welker would say. Here are two things said that seem to be a little undrafted, quarterback from LSU.
Right.
Sorry, Paul. They are both things that you say too frequently.
That's okay.
Calling people hi-ho is about as bad as it gets. I cringe whenever I hear you say that, Paul. Leave that saying for Eric. It fits better.
Okay. Not in a gay way, of course.
That comes from your old Herald days, right?
Yeah. Hi-ho? That's kind of the opposite of undrafted free agent out of LSU.
It's manly?
Yeah, I can't really get into it.
Are you talking about an actual hoe?
I can't get into it. It's filthy rotten. Not have any use the rest of the day.
Saying the phrase, I don't know, Billy Bear, what the hell is that? I'm sure it's from a movie of some sort, but it doesn't matter. It sounds very Scalavino. Who says that? I've never heard anyone say that.
Never heard of Billy Bear. That's from 48 Hours.
Oh.
Eddie Murphy, Nick Nolte.
Paul and Eric, you know my kid. As always, love the show.
Guy's getting shot all over the place. You never know. He could just whack off. Now that's gay.
Fred, did you notice on the TV show when we were shooting down here that Paul said something about Bill just wanted to wipe himself? It was like he was wiping his butt. Who uses that phrase?
I don't think I'm
pretty sure you did. I'll be watching.
I didn't hear it.
Thursday at 5, I'll be watching. Can I leave early to watch our show?
Unfortunately, I won't be.
Well, we're not going to be on a 5 again,
are we? The commercial that was just on behind Paul said.
I think there's another Celtics game. Didn't you say there's one more Celtics game
on
Thursday?
Yeah, but not right away, was it?
Oh, the commercial said Thursday at 5, Patriots Football Weekly.
That's killing us.
Yeah, it is.
So now I'm getting upset.
It's killing
us. Before I didn't care, but now it's not, it's not even giving us a fair shot.
So you're acting like Randy Moss.
A little bit.
It's all about the contract.
Stripper says applause for Andy. Andy's been saying that Vollmer wasn't very good since preseason, and the numbers are showing he's right.
Now I choose to align myself with footballfocus.com,
yes,
whatever it's called.
Yes, the 15 pressures Sebastian Vollmer has given up this year are already two more than he gave up in the entire 2009 season.
Yeah, Andy and I talked about that a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, didn't you get the feeling Palmer.
Yeah, I have. I have gotten that feeling. And I think in particular, when Miami put Wake on his side, he couldn't handle him.
Oh, yeah.
He couldn't handle him.
Something noted by some other people in the organization who may or may not be Hall of Famers and know something about the pass rush.
All
right. Why didn't we get Cameron Wake?
I heard he's retarded or something.
I mean, we've been looking for pass rush for 5 years, and this guy has 40 sacks in the CFL, and we don't give him a shot? 3-4?
I'm looking at that Clay Matthews guy.
Well, you know, I know why he's better now than he was in college.
Uh-oh.
He's on the program.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Fred's going all John Gruden now. You know, how about that guy?
The Claymaker? I mean, you see him, and he does the cardinal sin. If you are somebody who may have gotten bigger and stronger, don't flex as your celebration and show veins popping out of your bicep.
I saw one of the big plays he made, too, on a snap that went over McNabb's head about 30 yards
embarrassing.
Back. And he touched him down.
Roosevelt Colvin sack.
Yeah. He's a pretty good player, I'll admit.
He's an overrated teamer.
We missed on that one.
Oh, boy.
You know, you guys are right about the argument thing.
Why are we all...
I'm out of control. I'm at the Topsfield Fair on Saturday.
The Topsfield Fair, where families have fun.
A nice family day.
And there's Paul in the middle arguing.
You know the problem there? A lot of families have women in there.
It's a nice family day. It was beautiful fall, October day here in New England.
Right.
Something Norman Rockwell would have painted.
Right.
So I had the kids there. My niece is there with me, my wife, my sister-in-law, my mother-in-law. We go to one of those, one of those carny games.
You know what? It's going to have something to do with a carnival barker.
Well,
right?
Listen.
All right.
Listen.
Carnival bar? Are those the guys that run the
game? Know, hey, come step right
so
up.
My niece is playing one of those, the water gun. You have to squirt into the target, and then you're Yeah. Your thing goes to the top, and whoever's his first wins. So there's like four or five people in there, and they start playing. Now, it's just my niece playing and people I don't know. So they start off, and it gets about halfway there. My niece is ahead. The guy stops the game because someone is shooting at the wrong target. And they start it over again. And, of course, she loses by like an inch.
Did they drain it?
Did
she get to start where she was?
Yeah, no, they had to start over again because the guy was shooting the wrong thing. And I'm thinking to myself.
You didn't pull a stuffed animal away from a stranger, did you?
No. Right. The guy, it wasn't the people's fault. It was the guy running the if someone makes a mistake, if you think there was something wrong, let the guy play again. She was about to win. I mean, she was like a breath away from winning. I don't care about stuffed animals or whatever. I mean, she's like a 12-year-old girl who's trying to win a stuffed animal. She was literally.
And isn't part of the game like shooting it into the right hole? I mean, isn't that part?
Well, but that, I mean, again, if your conscience is getting the better of you, let the guy play again that was shooting into the wrong hole. Don't take, and like the look on her face, she was like bummed out. And I just like sat there and I didn't say anything. And she's getting up and she's all bummed out. And the guy kind of looks, and my sister-in-law says, why did they start the game over again? So, of course, I had to say loudly enough for the guy to hear it. I go, because the jerk had to restart the game because someone shot into the wrong hole.
Uh-oh.
He goes, she didn't win. I said, I know, but she was about to until you started the game over again because someone was shooting at the wrong target. But she didn't win.
I know she didn't win.
That's when the F-bombs came up.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Zero to hot, right to the F-bombs.
Yeah. I said, I know what happened. I watched that effing
thing. It's a
family
show.
You stopped it in the middle of the game. She was going to win. But you stop it in the middle of the game. So I understand that she didn't win. I'm not asking for a prize.
Okay.
You know, it was like, you know, God forbid, like the carnival guy loses an extra stuffed animal out of the inventory. It was unbelievable. And then I'm looking, I'm like, really? Is this happening? And all I could think about was Fred and Andy. That's all I could think about.
I can't believe you went right to the F-bombs, though. Like,
it was like the third back and forth.
I'm getting my ass another funnel cake.
And if the guy had just said, I'm sorry, you know, I'm sorry, those are the rules, whatever, I probably would have just turned around and said,
was it at least
sucks.
A guy? It wasn't like,
it was a guy. It was
like a 13-year-old boy.
By the way,
he was in a wheelchair.
Big guy. It was a carny guy. Probably would have squished me like a grape.
Oh, those carny guys. Oh, my God. I remember.
Anyway, an otherwise wonderful afternoon at the Tottsville Fair.
In the Cleveland Circle in Boston, they have the carnival, you know, and so we went one year. This is years ago, obviously, but they have a haunted
story
house.
Time here.
And, you know, you go in the haunted house, and it's these narrow passages. And,
you got
you know,
stuck.
There's really nothing much going on in there. It's just really dark and creepy. And so the guy that took our ticket, you know, real carny-looking guy, as we're coming out, you know, toward the end of the whole thing, you can see his shadow, and he's peeing into a cup.
Oh, my God.
And it's like, oh, my God.
You know what's going to happen now? Fred and I keep calling them carny-looking people. Someone's going to email hey, I work for a carnival. Yeah, what do you mean by that?
Around, right? Good. Subscribe. 1-800-494-PATS.
They're all like vagabonds that just travel the country,
they're,
right?
They're gypsies.
Gypsies? Yeah. So what is a gypsy?
I don't want to get into it. Anyway.
Apparently it was interesting. Sorry.
Derek from the University of Arizona says, Paul.
Yes.
I have read from Adam Schefter that the Seattle Seahawks are looking to get younger. They have one of the top 10 oldest rosters in the NFL and want to inject more youth into the team. Getting rid of Branch was to put their young receivers into action. Anyway, a little game for you guys.
Why is that directed at me?
Because we were wondering why Seattle would have done what they did.
So no, I was saying in defense of Seattle, that's why they got a fourth-round pick. They didn't just want to give him away.
Anyway, a little game. Curious on your opinions and thoughts on some of these rookies four games in. Below are a list of names. Give your letter grade and why that is the grade given. Consider their impact on their position, plays made, lost, and even special teams assets.
Okay.
Just a general grade. It's like, no, it's written like an application here. Devin McCourty, grade.
C.
B minus.
Yeah, maybe C plus.
B minus.
Okay. He's been fine. I think he's given up plays. I don't think he's been as good as kind of the... I still say he's Darius Butler.
Everybody thought
Butler was a developing young corner as a rookie, and then he didn't develop enough in second year.
See, the thing I think...
Honeymoon period.
Whenever
here.
You talk about any of these young defensive backs, you got to take into consideration there's no veteran kind of leading them back there.
There was supposed to be.
Right.
He's on IR. He was in the locker room today. In a
Brandon move. Spikes.
C plus.
Yeah, B minus.
That's about what I would say, too. Jermaine Cunningham.
D.
C.
D.
I haven't seen him do anything.
So he gets a D?
he hasn't been average. I think he's been below average. I think he's been comparable to Derek Burgess, who they cut. Aaron Hernandez.
A-minus.
Oh, yeah. He's in the A range.
A-minus.
Rob Gronkowski.
A++++.
I would give him a straight A because I think he's an all-around impact guy, okay. Not just in the passing game.
Not always seen, but it's always helped.
And since really, you know, he only played two games last year, two snaps, Brandon Tate, how would you...
special teams is
A. Got to be an A.
I'm gonna say B plus. He gets an A for special teams, but offensively, I'll give him like a C, C minus.
But what has he done wrong? Offensively,
hasn't done anything.
Yeah, but what has he done last fall
when he was being showcased for his breakout role? Caught like four passes for like 8 yards.
He
a catch.
Did what Bo
but what did.
But
yeah. What has he done wrong? Has he not maximized his opportunities?
He did what Bo did.
Yeah, on Kansas City yesterday on Sunday.
Oh, Dwayne Bowe. I automatically was thinking Bo Jackson.
It's not like, oh no. It's not like he's been
targeted. And then Kansas City, you were alt.
It's not like
flutter.
He's
right.
Been targeted and dropped balls.
That's crazy.
You
know? Right.
So it's not, so how could you, you know,
I don't think he's done much. C is average. C is not bad. I know in this Harvard A society, everybody wants an A and thinks that if you just try, you get an A. That's not the way it works. A is supposed to be really good.
C is bad.
I don't give out Harvard A's.
Brian in Baltimore says
from Brandon Tate for me, by the way.
What did I give him? I didn't finish. Did I
give him
finish?
A C?
No. I said A for special teams, C for offense. Bring it together, B plus.
Oh. Hey guys, just had a few random questions that were on my mind. If you're the Jets, who do you put Revis on now that Moss is gone? Who do you think? Who do you guys think is the number one receiver now? Welker, Tate, Branch, or Hernandez? Will this be a rotating door in terms of who is the number one receiver, or do these titles not matter to the team in terms of game planning and matchups?
Titles are fine. Nothing
you guys
wrong
think
with them.
Favre will be suspended after the investigation going on in New York, and if he does get suspended for the standard four games like Rapisberger, do you think he would just retire on the spot, or would he just keep playing?
He's not going
to
suspend.
I could see it turning into a circus if he did.
I've always wanted to be a Packer. I think I always will.
Well, first
be a
of
Packer.
All.
The circus would be if he was suspended for four games, if this is the only thing
I
he
do
did.
Think that's going to be a different top receiver in most games. I think that will
I think Welker's going to be the number one receiver.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Doesn't mean he's going to lead them in receptions every game. I think he'll be the number one
if
receiver.
If the Jets want to match up, I'd put Revis on Welker. I don't think that's a good matchup for Cromartie. I think he's a bigger type guy. He's not suited. He'd probably be better on Hernandez. Even though Hernandez has quickness, I think they're comparable more, and then, but I don't think they'll match up. I think you match up when you have one guy you really want to take away.
I think they, what I would do is I would put Kyle Wilson on him predominantly, but I would double him everywhere. I would double team Welker and make someone else beat them on the outside, because I know if I'm the Jets now, not every team has the ability to do this, and certainly Baltimore doesn't, who we're playing this week. The outside guys can handle Brandon Tate and Deion Branch. You know, they're going to give up some catches. They're not going to shut everybody out, but they should be able to win those matchups more often than not on the outside. So I double-team the crap out of the slot. And I would put Kyle – I think Kyle Wilson's more suited for that style. I didn't like what I saw out of Revis last night in the slot. I thought
– he looked hurt.
I thought – yeah, he's definitely
still
hurt.
Well, he's definitely hurt. I'm just saying help.
But he didn't look real good trying to chase around Harvin in the slot. And Harvin's a big-time – that's a tough matchup. Mm-hmm. He might be the guy who benefits the most. They talked about that a lot in the telecast last night. He might be the guy that benefits the most out of having Randy Moss.
Yeah. I mean, he's a probably more athletic Wes Welker because he can do more things.
You can eliminate that probably.
I know. I didn't want to. I know you have no problem disrespecting Wes Welker, but I try to respect.
That's
what he's
not
done
disrespectful
for this
to Wes Welker. Percy Harvin is an elite athlete.
You call him loose change.
I'm just saying, to compare him to Percy Harvin athletically. Now he's not the receiver that Welker is.
Okay.
He's not the route runner or the pass catcher that Welker is. He's learning. He was a running back.
Well, he was a jack of all trades.
Yeah. So
he's
learning,
a new age guy.
But he's learning
McCluster
how to run routes and stuff.
I'd like
stuff.
To see the Patriots draft one.
Welker has it all over him in terms of instincts and ability to run routes and get open and catch the ball. But athletically.
At least he did when Moss was on the field with him.
Boy, you're so negative.
Little over and under. Branch, 60 receptions under. In the next 12 games.
60?
That's five a game.
Under.
Branch, 8 TDs in the next 12 games.
Under.
Patriots win one playoff game.
What's Deion Branch's career best? 5?
I was just gonna look up his stats because did he ever catch more than 60 passes?
Yeah, he had 78 here, I think, his last year. His best year by far, he had 78, and then I think he had like 250s. But I'm pretty sure his high for touchdowns was 5, and they want 8 in 12 games.
How about one playoff win for the Patriots? Over or under?
Over. Based solely on the rest of the league stinks.
I'm going to say under.
How about the Vikings' one playoff win?
Under. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
Wow.
They're going to be 1-6.
What'd you think of
1-6?
One of the Yorks, I don't know which one it was, texting somebody and saying that the 49ers will make the playoffs?
Sure. This year it's possible.
Why is ownership texting anyone? Why?
Why is ownership texting?
I think it was Schefter, right, that he texted?
Maybe. It's just, yeah.
That was supposed to be just
young,
to you.
Right?
Yeah, he's like 27.
Right? Yeah. I mean, it'd be like if I were the owner. I'm sure I would do some impulsive things
all.
That wouldn't be very smart.
Imagine if he had power.
It'd be fun for a short stint.
Strippers has some inside knowledge here
short
about how
fun, Ron.
Jen Sturger got famous. Jen Sturger is the woman in the Jets that...
I know how she got famous. Brett Favre sent her a
this
photo
is how
of
she
show.
Got
well,
famous.
According to Strippers, on September 5th, 2005... during a Florida State home football game against the University of Miami.
She's one of them?
ABC televised a bleacher shot of FSU co-eds Jen Sturger and Fabiola Romero
with hats
dressed
on?
In minimal tops, short shorts, and cowboy hats.
She's one of them?
ABC sportscaster Brent Musburger commented, I think 1,500 red-blooded American men just decided to apply to Florida State. After the broadcast, the FSU cowgirls, as they call themselves, quickly became the subject of much attention on the Internet. Sturger has stated that in addition to Danae Sims, Romero, and herself, there are an additional four cowgirls who cheer the FSU football team from the stands. So that's how she got famous.
And I actually got a chance to meet her through one of my internships.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Did she know you?
No, she doesn't know me.
Just like Capello then?
Did you send her any pictures?
No, I did not. Oh. I wanted to keep... She actually came down. I was an intern with the PGA Tour. And she came down to try out for a TV show on Spike TV called Cart Girl that we were going to produce. And it basically consisted of her dressed to the nines.
No wonder why she didn't file any charges.
Yeah, driving around and basically Spike following her around with video cameras, taping like the shenanigans that would ensue
Brandon,
with all the guys.
One game suspension for Favre?
What?
One game? Fred doesn't think he's going to get suspended.
Anything more than that would be ridiculous.
I don't think he's going to get suspended.
How?
To me, it's because he's Brett Favre.
Right, it's double standard.
Because I think he's going to deny that they were his pictures.
Well, I don't think he's done that yet, and I think that's interesting.
No, but when
he apologized to his team, what's he apologizing for?
Yeah, about the distraction.
Well, if it wasn't him, he would just say, listen, this wasn't me.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry we have to go through this.
Well, there's no doubt the calls were him, you know.
And there's probably no doubt the penis was him.
Well, I don't know, but I think that, you know, he's going to say it wasn't, she's not going to want to... You know, how would she know it was his?
Wait a minute. If she doesn't want to pursue it, then how does a fake shot of Brett Favre's penis get sent to her? Who's the setup person? Somebody has to set it up here.
Just in time. Speaking of
penis. Who's setting this up?
But if she doesn't want to say, you know what, I'm done with this.
That doesn't matter. That's irrelevant.
By the way, guys, Branch is wearing number 84.
We already said that.
Yeah.
You don't listen. Try to listen to the show.
I was working on stuff.
That was reported early in the show during an Andy Hart rant on the offense.
Okay. Gotcha.
All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email
no reliable
address. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Eric is here, and Eric has just come from practice.
Getting dirty looks from Paul just because I asked him to fill me up.
Not a usual Tuesday practice. Usually Tuesday's a day off.
Yeah, this is like a Thursday, Fred.
Oh,
it's a Tuesday. It's like a Thursday.
Tuesday's like a Thursday?
Today it is, yeah.
Okay.
We're playing the game on Friday.
No, because Thursday will be like a Thursday when Thursday gets here.
So well, then what's Wednesday? Well, today's Dan Branch Day.
Yeah.
Eric decided to put an end to that.
Do they have a poster out there? Is it Dan Branch Day?
No, but it's his first day back. He's wearing the 84,
as Andy reported.
Told us for the second time in the show already.
Pyroseed.
Is he actually out there? He's actually out there in full pads with everybody else.
Pink?
No.
Green?
No, the...
Red?
Blue.
Blue. No, thank you, Paul.
Some good news.
He got known for his gloves in Seattle.
He did, yeah. Not going to wear those neon things
That'd
here.
That'd be kind of clashing.
Yeah, it would clash very much. Just Fred Taylor missing from action today.
Okay.
Which means Terrence Wheatley back in full pads. Mike Wright.
Good to see.
Who missed a couple of last week's practices back out on the field.
Great. Merriweather. No lingering effects from his game.
Not enough to keep him out of practice.
Good.
So, and you know, obviously, Kazier went to IR. You
Kazier
saw that release,
IR,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the roster spot that was made available for Dion, who's wearing the 84. He's out there during stretching, talking with
receivers coach Chad O'Shea, and then Bill Belichick came over afterwards and had a few words with him, welcoming him back. Yeah, literally a few words, because then they had to blow the whistle for a team period. So went through drills. They ran through the bags. They started doing the receivers running a couple of routes against air, and the quarterbacks went to him. He threw – I don't think he was running full speed. I think he was doing maybe three quarters.
Uh-oh.
It was warm-up. Everybody was doing it that way. It was just the warm-up
stuff.
He lost
5 steps.
Well, ran about a 5-yard
post
pattern.
But there is something to be said about that, because I remember watching training camp with you guys, and we'd watch David Patton. And, man, did he run those drills like I'm sure they were written to be run. You know, everything was precise, full speed, you know.
Patton, you're talking about?
Patton, David Patton. Chris.
He was one of those guys that looked,
they
looked really,
good.
Really good. I remember back in his first
training
camp.
So it would be nice if we had
no
that
idea
same
who
impression.
He was.
Yeah.
And Patton was one of those guys that were like, wow, you watch this guy in the practice field. He looks so smooth.
Right.
And he was a good player for a long time.
So I'm hoping that maybe we do see some of that in practice before
maybe.
Sunday.
Maybe, but we don't really get to see much of practice, so,
right.
You know.
Okay.
So we won't.
But beautiful day out there.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is very
beautiful
nice.
Day. It was raining this morning, but it turned. Now it's a
Boy,
perfect
did it rain
autumn day.
In New York last night, huh?
Yeah.
Holy mackerel. That was something else.
I thought for
did
sure
you
we would
watch
get
the game
that today, but I guess we didn't.
No.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I watched it. Did
you watch
it?
Yeah, I watched some of it. I fell asleep.
He said the last play remembered
last play
was,
remember
Moss
was the one where Moss threw the ball to Favre.
Go, then you didn't
like
watch
the first
some
play
of it.
The
you watched the first play.
You just said you watched some of it and you watched one
Talk
play.
Talk about misleading.
And I fell asleep.
The 45 minutes delay killed you.
I'll get the transcript.
I woke up and... Good, Fred. I woke up and SportsCenter was on, and I got to see all the highlights. So
I watched every play, but as soon as Favre threw that interception, click, I said that.
Well, that was the game anyway.
I know, but... You know, I would have liked to see Moss's post game, but I didn't stay up for any of that.
Well, yeah, it was. I left the TV on, and I was just kind of trying to fall asleep, and some of that stuff started coming on, and I was like half asleep, and I all of a sudden I looked at the clock. It was like 1:15, and I'm like, I got to shut this off.
1:15.
Yeah, it was because it was a 45-minute delay.
Start.
Yeah.
Let's see. David writes in, as always, you guys are doing an amazing job. I'm glad we traded for Branch, but I didn't think we needed help on the offensive side of the ball near as much as the defensive side of the ball. Why hasn't Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, tried to make any trades to get some better defensive talent? And what the hell, Fred? I haven't received my last 2 weeks PFW, and unless there is another Patriots fan on my block, I don't know where the hell it's going.
The mailman steals
I called Carol yesterday, but only got her voicemail.
She'll get back to you in about a month.
Well, Carol, look for David's voicemail and get back to him. And
it's not her fault, just so you know.
It's not her. As much as we tease her, it's not her fault.
No.
The mailman steals it.
We mail it. You know, it's amazing because yesterday we print at this place that also prints USA Today, the newspaper. But because yesterday was a holiday, they didn't, you know, the press was free. They didn't have to print USA Today. We had the papers back here before noon.
USA Today is a good gig, huh? Because that's a weekly paper, a daily paper,
but not on the weekends.
And they don't work holidays? How do you get that gig?
But you still have to report. They just don't print.
That's your gig, Paul. Weekends or holidays.
That is the one I've been looking for. I'm holding out hope.
Go bump Jarrett Bell off and take his job.
Paul wants a sports writing job where he doesn't have to cover the games. He doesn't want to have to cover the games.
Yeah, I guess I didn't think that through when I was going to college.
Nathan from Southern California. Wanted to give you guys a shout out because you've been pretty accurate on a lot of your predictions this year.
Of course.
One that I'm still waiting for is when Andy said that he's not buying into the Jets and that they were a fraud and were going to implode because of some of the crap in the off-field issues.
They will.
When will this happen?
It's still early. You don't worry about it.
I actually, some people not affiliated with this organization but affiliated with the league, who believe the same thing, that team is going to implode.
And it may not come until like an AFC title
game. Stuff we know about, there's other stuff.
Well,
not illegal. I'm not saying illegal or anything like that.
I think
but
controversial.
This point, yeah.
Well, I don't know.
What?
I'm not saying they're a lock for the Super Bowl or anything. I don't think they're – I think they're a good team. I don't think they're a great team.
I don't think any – you could say that about pretty much every team.
But I think at this point they are what they are. I think they've proven that.
Well, they got a damn good defense. That defense is going to win them a lot of games.
You know what? And their offense isn't bad either.
It's
not
bad.
Their offense last night struggled in the red zone, but that's a really good defense they played against, and they rolled up over 200 yards of total offense in the first half. They easily could have had a bigger lead. But give Minnesota credit.
Yeah.
They forced field goals. But that game was closer to a blowout than what it ended up being. I think they're pretty good. I don't think they're going to implode. Now, does that mean they're going to win all their games? No. I think they have some questions, I'll tell you. Coaching. And I don't mean game plans and all this stuff. I think that he gets caught up in being Rex Ryan, that macho guy.
Right.
Like, they don't ever play to the situation. They don't play to the score. And I think that's going to burn them at some point. They had 2 9-point leads last night. They continued to send all kinds of pressure at Favre. And they came a hair away from giving up a big play that may have lost the game. Because they insisted, instead of just keeping everything in front of them, they insisted on blitzing recklessly, and they let Percy Harvin one-on-one with Revis.
Recklessly.
And Harvin knocked over Revis and was all alone on that pass, the pass before the interception, that he throws it over his head. If he catches that, there was no one around.
Right.
It would have been at least a 25, 30-yard gain, probably more.
Maybe field goal.
They may have been right in field goal range there, and all of a sudden you have a game that you dominated and you end up losing.
Yeah.
I think that in that
damn it,
the time management on offense before that
Favre
was all coaching. That was not player. That was all coaching.
Jay writes in, does putting Kazier on IR indicate that Mankins could be closer to returning to the team? It was obviously done to open a roster spot.
For Deion Branch.
For Deion Branch.
Right.
And no, it indicates that he was no closer to returning to the team. Kazier, I mean.
So. And
everybody, a lot of people still insist that Mankins will be back at some point this year. A lot of the national reporters say that. I'm still not going to believe that until it happens. I still, right now, don't think he'll be back, but we'll see.
You think a trade is possible before next week?
Possible, yeah, but I think he ends up sitting out.
No, possible, yeah.
No, well, I don't want to dismiss it as a possibility.
He even argues with himself.
He's not trying to be.
No, I'm not dismissing it as a possibility. I don't think he'll be traded, and I don't think he'll play for the Patriots.
You missed it, Eric. Paul has calmed down, but he was very argumentative early. Very.
With you?
I was actually agreeing with Fred.
The emailers.
You know, about what? Not. About what?
He got into a fight at the Topsfield Fair.
Yeah, I did.
Did you really?
Yeah, it was a good one.
Who was she?
It was a Kearney guy.
In a wheelchair.
No, come on.
With one leg.
Come on. As Colt McCoy would say.
Three things. Come on now. No, it's come on now.
Come on now.
He's going to probably start this week.
Yeah, I know.
So what was he all up, what were you all upset about?
Just a couple football related things.
Interestingly, from Eric, right? The emails
from Eric. Eric from Brooklyn.
Right. Yeah, I kind of misunderstood something.
And why'd you get into a fight at the Topsfield Fair?
His niece. Kearney guy screwed my niece out of a game.
Alex from Georgia here. I just wanted to chime in and say that I like the move for Branch, although this won't even come close to replacing Moss in the field. I think this is a good move. Deion can pretty much play any of the receiver positions, and he might not draw the double team like Moss did. I think this will help get someone else open. I, for one, have not given up hope on the Patriots like Andy has. That's my insert. I still think they can
I don't understand how saying I have some good thoughts about the defense.
Who's argumentative now?
Is negative. But if you just say you think the defense stinks, which clearly Fred does, and
say
the offense will be fine, you're being positive.
I never said that.
What'd you say about the defense?
I said it needs to get a lot better.
Do you think it will?
I'm hoping.
You're such a fraud. You are such a poo-na-nee.
I, for one, have not given up hope on the Patriots like Eric has. I still think they can make some noise.
Just because Eric and I actually speak our minds and don't
bury
we look at things objectively.
The truth, not argumentative.
No, he looks at things objectively. He just doesn't voice it. He buries it. And says,
that's true.
I might think, maybe, possibly. I'm picking the Patriots, but I'm expecting the Jets to win. I'm in the mental mindset.
No. The new phrase is I'm preparing myself.
Preparing.
That's
bull crap. That's right. Say what you think.
That's what I was thinking.
And by the way, we should update, Freddie.
What?
We should update. Our picks are now a big topic of conversation.
Really?
In the paper.
Yes.
This week.
Yes.
Across the board, Patriots.
Except?
But one.
And who would that one
who
be?
Who puts the butt in but one?
Whoa.
Eric?
It's very mean of you, Andy.
Well, I was looking more for
Andy,
your pick.
I said, was mean.
Your pick.
My pick was Baltimore.
Why?
One guy.
Because I'm going to win. Oh, because I'm picking the team I think is going to win. That's how I make my picks. I'm sorry. I go with the better team.
Now, are you preparing yourself? So you're saying that every other guy doesn't go with the better team?
No. I'm just saying that's how I
feel
about this game.
So you know more than them?
No, that's how I feel about this game.
Well, you just said you went with the better team.
Who I think is the better team, yeah.
Oh, who you think is the better team.
Yes.
Okay.
That's how we make our picks.
You're not definitive. You're not saying that Baltimore is the better team. You think they're the
I
better
think they're
team.
The better team.
Like you thought Miami was
like
the better
Like I thought
team.
Miami was right. the better team that night. Right. They but weren't.
That night. But you think overall Miami's better than the Patriots? Is that what you're saying?
Eric, stop digging.
Now you go ahead and you keep picking.
Besides, I'm doing what the organization representatives told us to do.
Right.
Because they obviously can't be motivated by the millions of dollars that they get paid to play games. So they have to go pick against them.
And to go on the radio and talk on the radio and not talk in front of your locker after a game.
Here we go.
Shots seven, Vince.
Let's see. Finish Alex's
email. I picked the
email.
Patriots, Fred.
I still think the Fraud Patriots Perot. Can make some noise Suck in the up. East and will be cheering for them every game. And for all the fans jumping ship over the trade for Moss, I say good riddance. And you weren't true fans from the get-go. I can't listen live, so this might have been addressed already. Is the lack of playing time for Taylor Price just because he's still learning the system?
Oi. You going to be all right? You're stifling a sneeze there?
I'm sneezing, burping, the whole thing.
Well, Taylor Price is clearly the last receiver. I mean, he's behind Tate.
Right.
And right. Know, obviously Moss is gone now, but he's behind those guys. Edelman, Tate.
Yep.
Now I'm sure Branch, Welker. There's no room for him. Your extra receivers, if they don't play special teams, and I don't really think he's got a role in special teams, you're not going to be active on Sunday.
If you want to look into such things, when they do the bag drill at the start of practice, when they carry the football and the skill guys go through the bags, run through the bags.
He's the last one.
Welker went first.
No, Brady always goes first. But they usually go receivers. It usually goes a hierarchy. Quarterbacks in their hierarchy, and then wide receivers in their hierarchy. Welker is always the first receiver, and Branch was the second-to-last receiver to go through the drills today. Aaron Hernandez, the rookie, took the very last spot.
That's a shock. Did he have his helmet on at least when he was doing
Yeah, never mind.
He almost tore an ACL running through the locker
Alex
room today.
Alex finishes it up.
Around his ankles.
Alex finishes it up. He says, I got a puppy the other day and decided to name him Gronk.
Nice.
Used to have a dog called Brewski and have a cat named Brady. So
that's very
cat's
fitting.
Cat's a real pussy, huh?
That's fitting.
Is it a long-haired cat?
Looks like a girl.
It's funny, on the next PFW show that we taped today, usually I have that
Our
little
taping.
Segment where we have images, and because we didn't have a game, I didn't have photos to use from the game, so I took some old PFW covers, and one of them was the original cover when Belichick came the first time to help out with the defense.
96,
and he had the long hair. Yeah. And, you know, pose for the cover. And,
wow.
You know, he had the flow going like Brady has now.
What's crazier, that he had long hair or he posed for a cover?
Right. Both of them.
A whole different world back then.
Jeff in Ipswich. Boy,
home of the clam, right?
You guys have been lucky with news breaking the day before your week begins. I had a couple thoughts on Randy Moss. One, doesn't it make sense for the team to have experience without Moss sooner than later? It was doubtful he would have been back next year anyway. And two, if all of Moss's teammates keep saying he was the greatest guy in the world, then why didn't they vote him team captain?
Paul?
I think I've said my...
Why don't you say it again?
No, I've given my two cents on the captain thing. I don't think it's worth getting into. It's completely speculation. We don't know what the reason is for that.
Tom says from Richmond, Virginia... I'm curious. I could see the Vikings may tank this season. Favre will finally retire at the end of the year.
You hope.
Really. And the Vikes will not sign Moss to a long-term deal. Given the ongoing public niceties being said between the two
Bring
parties,
him back.
Pats and Randy, do you think there's a chance he could actually return next season? In essence, is Bill smart enough to pick up a pick by loaning Randy out for the season?
Well, is picking up a pick smart if it hurts your season?
Yeah, I don't see any chance of his re-signing here next year.
I'd be very surprised.
But it is.
I'd be more stunned if he came back than I was when he got traded, and I was pretty stunned when
I kind of feel bad for him because I think that he might be in a worse position than he was here in terms of contract and, you know, winning football games.
Yeah, he went to a lesser quarterback, obviously.
Yeah.
Lesser coach.
Is he going to catch more passes there or here?
I think probably equal.
See, I think he's going to catch more passes there because I think they're going to throw the ball to him more.
Didn't Brett Favre have 33 touchdowns and like 7 picks last year?
Yeah, I gloss over
the
that kind of nonsense.
The spewing from that microphone over there.
I don't think the Minnesota will win as many games as New England, but I don't think that puts him in a worse spot.
Well, I think that Favre is aching. I think, you know, no fault of his own.
He's
but
aching?
Yeah, his elbows
because
bad.
He went like this last night after he completed a pass.
He said after the game, it's really bad.
course he does. That's what he's a drama queen. That's what he does.
Plus, when you're 97 years old, that's what happens when you're trying to play football and you got
cataracts.
At the
end, if this was better for Randy Moss. All I care about is Randy Moss.
Yeah, that's it.
Hi writes in. He says,
hi.
Did you guys see the game they played on Sunday? He's talking about the Kansas City Chiefs now.
It's on the TV right now.
They held Indianapolis Colts without a touchdown until the fourth quarter. Any New England Patriots fan would have noticed that the Chiefs have Pioli as GM, Cronella as defensive coordinator, Weiss as offensive coordinator. They play a similar style to the 2001 New England Patriots. I'm not saying they're going to go to the Super Bowl, but this does make me wonder how valuable those men were to the dynasty. And what does that mean in Bill We Trust? I mean, you guys were saying how we might have underrated players like Bruschi, Vrabel, and others. Just reaffirms the validity of the question I'm posing.
Yeah, Andy and I talked about that a little bit yesterday, too. It was very familiar. I thought the things that they were doing, we saw a lot of confusion on the part of the Colts receivers, and Manning didn't seem to ever really get into a rhythm in that game.
Just flat out took away Dallas Clark, who they may have perceived to be the biggest weapon for the Colts.
And we've seen Rodney Harrison spearhead that kind of an approach against Indianapolis in the past. Yeah, it was very familiar looking to me.
Yeah. They took Belichick's blueprint and ran with it.
Yeah.
It's amazing. They're not architects, so I don't know how you can succeed.
I don't know how he was able to do that without Bill doing it all for him.
I just said they implemented Belichick's game plan, his architecture.
I don't know how he did it.
Chris, how come he can't implement his architecture?
Don't know how he did it.
Chris with a TIAN. So it's about a week since the Moss trade, and I'm almost off suicide watch. I'm starting to see normal again, and I'm able to complete most of my sentences without stuttering. As for Deion Branch, I'm happy he's back, but like you guys, I'm not sure what's left in the tank. I don't watch many Seahawks games, and his stats don't jump off the page at you, that's for sure. If they did jump off the page, he wouldn't have been traded. That being said, he's got some great chemistry with number 12 back in the day, so hopefully we get to see a little bit of that in the next dozen games.
Wasn't more the impetus of his being traded because he wanted too much money and... Wasn't money more the factor than the fact that he
wasn't?
No,
because he was already on the contract for this and next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. The trade away from here.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't he talking about the trade away from here?
Oh, it was all money.
That was all money.
It was all about money.
Absolutely.
Who, Moss?
No.
Branch.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yes, it was all about money.
It was a contract. He was in the last year of his deal. He held out, missed the first week, and after the first week, they traded him to
Seattle. So it wasn't really that he wasn't productive.
No,
not at all. Rex writes in, Paul, you misunderstood.
I was trying to respond to what Christian was saying. I thought he was saying that
he was talking about his production in Seattle.
Oh, yeah. Okay, my bad.
Yeah, well, his stats haven't jumped off the page.
That's true. Seattle.
But it's all about expectations. They didn't jump off the page because they gave up a number one pick and signed him to a $39 million contract. He's a lot like Lawrence Maroney.
And
when he was a second-round pick here, he was a great story. Had he been here for $39 million and a first-round pick, his numbers wouldn't have looked so good when he was topping out at 5 touchdowns and 70-something catches.
And the numbers were remarkably similar, and we talked about that, and Kevin printed them out here. 53 games in New England, 51 games in Seattle, a difference of 23 catches in about 290 yards, one more touchdown in Seattle than in New England. So he had 213 catches for 2,744 yards and 14 touchdowns with New England, 190 catches for 2,347 yards and 15 touchdowns in two less games.
Don't you think, though, Seattle was expecting more?
Yeah. But I'm just saying, I think that the common perception is he went out to Seattle, got injured, and fell off the map.
Right.
He basically did exactly what he did in New England for 4 years, minus the postseason, which he didn't really participate in.
Right.
I think
it's not like he was a bust in Seattle in the postseason. He didn't get to play in postseason games.
And I think the illusion of him being so good comes from what he did in the postseason here and what he did in the Super Bowl here.
That definitely added to his legacy. Rex writes in.
Yeah, he's probably right, by the way. I probably did misunderstand something.
Paul, you misunderstood. This is about the fair value for Moss. I think he was comparing the fourth rounder to Oakland for Moss in the fourth rounder for Deion Branch.
Oh, I definitely misunderstood.
I don't think that's what he was saying, though. Based on Moss's performance, I think that a fourth rounder to Oakland was a steal. Well, it was.
Well, yeah, there's no real argument there.
Yeah, but I don't think that's what he was saying anyway. But
50 touchdowns for a fourth round pick.
Good try, though. Tom in the UK. I'm sure you're being flooded with questions about Deion Branch. We are. What effect do you think he'll have on the passing game, and how does he fit with Welker? Personally, I'm a little disappointed we didn't go after Jackson But I understand he was after big money. But then Branch's contract is around $5 million per year. A lot for a guy who hasn't had huge production. Do you see this guy being renegotiated? Well, supposedly he already has been.
Reportedly.
You know?
Reportedly.
Now, give me a scenario. You know, you take Moss out, five wide, so it's Tate, Welker, Branch, Hernandez, and who?
Gronkowski.
Woodhead.
Whoever's
Edelman.
Edelman. There's a lot of options.
Okay.
Does Branch start?
I don't know. They might, you know, get him into the game early with a little quick pass.
Do you mean start like the first play of the game, or start like, is he a frontline player? Like, he'll get more snaps than most of the other receivers.
Well, I meant start like start, but sure, whatever you want to answer.
First play of the game, you mean?
I have no idea what the first play of the game is.
It's all situational.
I think he'll be a starting.
If I were them, I'd run an end around where they look to throw back to Brady for the first play of the game.
With Brady under center?
Yeah.
I would definitely expect him to start, whatever that exactly means.
I would, too.
Let's see. TG and NJ says, I think the impression that you guys are negative Nancys is because you have so few positive comments about the current team, you come across as negative. And it's mostly because we haven't seen enough of these new players to get a concise opinion. At this time in the season, the voice of Fred the Homer is the one that should be in the forefront. Let's get a couple more games under our belts, then the negative Nancys can come back in the room. Now argue and tell me I'm wrong and don't know what I'm talking about, and it might be, but I'm a fan. Maybe Fred can explain to you what that means.
Well, I clearly blame Fred.
We're not fans.
The fact that
we're
there's
journalists.
Not enough homerism. You are the homer on the show, and I'll be honest, you've been failing in your role of late.
Yeah,
you've lacked credibility.
I agree with that, and I agree with the emailer. Your voice should be at the forefront. We shouldn't be hearing things like, I'm hoping that they get better.
Right.
We shouldn't be hearing that.
That's
what happened to rape and pillage?
That's bull crap.
We need more out of you, Fred. You got to step it up. And we got to do it quickly. Can you do that for me?
That's why I brought Pete in.
If you don't mind.
What's that?
Can you do
Pete's
that?
Pete's not on this
can
show.
Can you do that for us?
You're
can
the homer on this show, and you've been failing miserably in that role.
Mike and Charlotte, I think the change from Moss to Branch in the long term will work out. I think Brady has been a better quarterback when he's throwing the short and mid-range passes and managing the game and only occasionally throwing the ball deep to keep the defense honest. This shows up when they run the two-minute no-huddle offense, and he is working the ball down the field. You still need to be able to stretch the field, but maybe a little less of that will improve the offense overall.
How do you define a good quarterback?
And what is Brady's completion percentage on passes over 25 to 30 yards the last 2 years?
I don't know.
I mean, obviously, the completion percentage, the farther you throw the ball down the field, drops.
I have to say, though, that, you know, with Moss, Brady has been, as far as rating. He's the top-rated quarterback in the NFL right now.
Ratings, touchdowns, completion percentages, yards. What I'm asking. Why is he better now that he's got dink and dunk?
And that's I guess that's why people think we're negative. I don't see how you can be better. I don't. The 2003 offense wasn't better than the 2010 offense. It just wasn't. They won more games. They didn't score as many points. They didn't do as much. I don't care what it looked like. They moved the ball better and more efficiently now than they did then. I mean, can that even be argued?
No. That's why I was asking what makes I mean, I guess they're arguing rings.
Oh, he's
got
rings.
But that's my point. You know,
they're right. If he goes out and wins the next 12 games in a row and they finish 15-1 and he wins another Super Bowl, you know what I'll say? And I don't know what it is, but son of a bitch, he went to Dink and Dunk and they became a better team.
But if they do that by scoring 30-plus points a game, then I'll say, okay, they were able to continue to score the way they were.
We know the defense isn't going to suddenly give up 8 a game.
They didn't do that back then is my point. And the stat that we talked about yesterday, Andy, you and I, Fred, in 2001, 3-4, those 3 seasons, the 3 years they won the Super Bowl,
yes.
I went back and looked. They went 11-6 in games in which they scored fewer than 20 points. So they didn't get to 20, they still went 11-6. In 7, 8, 9, and so far in 10, they are 4-9 in such situations.
Interesting.
So what's the difference?
Defense.
All right.
Clearly.
So that wasn't a better offense that they had back then when they weren't scoring 20 points.
It's a worse defense.
Right.
But I think Andy's
the numbers
right.
Bear that out.
Andy's right, though. You say, well, they won rings. Well, okay. They had a better team.
Overall, yeah.
They had a better team then than they do now.
And
that's why they won rings.
Can we please?
Not because Brady was more efficient or because he, you know, thought it was better to, you know, spread the ball around and do all those sorts of things. Brady statistically has not been better than he's been with Moss. Has never been better than he was in 07 and 09 and, you know, what we've seen. You just mentioned it. Highest rated passer in football right now through four games.
Despite forcing it to Moss and really,
yeah,
you know,
I don't
not,
know how he's
not
done
spreading
that.
It around.
And can we stop with the comments about we never won anything with Moss as a justification for letting
it's
him
just
go?
So patently unfair.
It I mean, really, the 2007 season was by all accounts it was a Super Bowl season for that team. It wasn't Randy Moss's fault that they didn't win that game.
Well, look,
it was Randy Moss that got them to that game.
I think
game.
There were some
reasonable
things...
minds have to ignore. Those people that are saying that's why they got rid of him, because we know that's not the case.
I know, but I've seen too many comments
no, but
that
there
I have
has
to
been a,
th- to the blog
a,
that
a
say
a large
that.
Groundswell of that. They never won anything with Moss, and that's the reason they never. You know, that's
well,
why they
I think
let him go.
When people say that, they're saying hope is not lost. I mean, they have won without him, and you don't need. You know,
but they're
I
not
think
better without
saying.
Him. That's what that's our point. They're
okay.
not better
no
without
one,
him.
But they've won without him.
But no one's suggesting that they should give up hope.
Well, I think that's a lot of people when this first started.
But
that,
that's
that
what
was
happens
the answer
every
to that.
Time we make
you know,
a move.
When yeah, exactly when we first made the move, the extremes came out. There was no voice of reason. It was like the season's over. We're well, screwed.
So is it
I'm
a voice?
Sending back my stuff or? You know, screw him. We don't need him. He stinks. That was what you heard initially. Now it's come back to the middle.
Well, what's the middle?
The middle is there was another reason why they got rid of him. It had nothing to do with his ability, you know, and that was why they got rid of him, you know.
Is that better or worse?
Better or worse for what? What do you mean? A better reason?
Is the offense better or worse?
Right now it's worse. It can't be better.
Okay. Well, I haven't heard that as being the reason. I hear more what Eric talks about.
It can't
they
be.
Never won anything with Moss, and they're moving on. No. It's better to be more efficient.
But that's the Michael Felger.
You got away from your soul argument.
In
blah,
defense
blah,
of Felger,
blah.
He's been on that rant for 2 years now.
Doesn't make it right.
That's not new
stupid.
Since they traded
it's
Moss.
It's been stupid for 2 years.
Everybody else has jumped on that bandwagon now that Moss is
but
gone.
But I think it can't be better, but the point is that it can still be good.
I think it will be
but
good.
But can it be good enough?
Good enough. Is
we, the, that's what we'll, that's I why they play the games,
good.
Andy.
I think Tom Brady is going to run a good offense. Yeah. I do.
Yeah. Right.
A couple things I wanted to get in before the
and
show.
You could go 7-9 with a good offense.
One for Fred and one for myself. I'll just say I'm always argumentative with the fans and our emailers. I want to say this. You guys, after having a chance to sit back and watch the games this week, you guys have convinced me that I was wrong and you guys were right. This league is wide open. There is.
Oh, yeah.
I have a much higher feeling right now about the New England Patriots than I did 3 weeks ago. After watching the whole week's worth of games on Sunday and then Monday night's game, there are a couple teams out there that I look at that I say, yeah, they probably have more talent than the Patriots. But there's no one out there that scares
Baltimore
me
being
at
one of them?
All. There's no team that scares me in the slightest. I didn't think that would be the case. I thought there'd be a couple of teams right now, even though it's only five games for most of the league. This league is wide open. There's a bunch of 3-2 teams right now. Who's good?
Nobody.
Who is good in this league?
There are teams that are above average. I don't think there's any good teams.
And I put the Patriots right in the mix with anybody. So the fans have swayed me on that argument. Fred.
Yes.
Tell everybody who you were rooting for in the Kansas City-Indianapolis game.
Indianapolis.
Unbelievable.
Penis head himself.
Unbelievable.
I just couldn't sit with the fact that the Chiefs would be 4-0. I couldn't sit with that.
It's amazing
Why is that?
To me.
Why is that?
Wow.
Huh?
Why is that you couldn't?
Spite.
You've really sold your soul. That's soul selling right there.
Now, I had Indianapolis and knock-on, so it was a little different for
Vikings
me.
All the way.
Just making sure.
Yeah. Although I didn't want Favre to do I wanted the Vikings to win, but
like
Favre
Adrian
not
Peterson
to be the
have like
right.
300 yards right. rushing right. or something ridiculous.
It's so complex being you and watching games.
Well, there's a lot going on up there.
He sounds like me watching.
There's a lot going
he
on.
He sounds like me watching the Red Sox. There's like four guys in the lineup I hate. It's kind of hard rooting for them to win.
Calvin in London, before Dion arrived, there was talk about the right receiver in the Patriots system. Can you all shed some light on what is so challenging for receivers in the Patriots offense?
It's a great
is it
question.
They have a lot of audibles, or is it more that they rely on the receiver reading the coverage the same yes. way Brady does in making the adjustments?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The latter.
Everything is read and react to the yeah. coverage. And not even just, you know, the exact coverage, but how a guy is shading you. Is he
right
up? Is he a step to the outside, step to the inside? There is so much, which again makes Brady's job more ridiculous than ever.
But Brady makes it that way.
Has five of them.
Yeah.
Well, no, the architect of the offense makes it that way. I was taught that by you. The architect of the offense is one who decides how this offense is going to go. And there's a lot of teams that still do old school.
I know who that is.
They just run it. They run a play. You know, it's a 909, and you got two guys running goes, and there's no real adjustments. You know, maybe there's a blitz, whatever, hot read, but this is the exact opposite.
Yeah.
And I think that's why guys like Joey Galloway struggle. Because other places they are, they call a route and you run the route. Here, they call a route, but if you see X, Y, and Z, the route changes three times, and you got to make sure you see the same thing 12 does.
Yep. Also, I think Mike Reese mentioned they would be more of a West Coast offense. Is this what they were like prior to 2007? And can you explain what this really is and what we can expect? I heard someone say Moss has never played in a West Coast offense prior to moving to the Vikes, so I presume the Pats didn't run this when he was here. I think Belichick would not say
the Patriots,
or ever said that they were a West Coast offense.
Matter of fact, he's actually bristled at that. Yeah. But it is an offense, in my opinion, that has a lot of West Coast tendencies.
Right.
There's a lot of similarities.
A lot of short passes.
It's not the same thing, but I think this offense,
since
Belichick has been here, it's been a lot of short passes, timing passes, and I think there's a lot of characteristics of the West Coast. But Belichick flatly walked away from that comparison several years ago.
Yeah.
Because otherwise he wouldn't be the architect, because the architect of the West
Coast is Bill Walsh. Well, he's not the architect anyway. I don't know who it is, but...
There is no architect.
Maybe that's it, though.
It's co-architect.
Everybody knows who the architect of the West Coast is, so maybe he doesn't want that.
Cedric in Chicago. Hey, guys, Fred, Big Head, Boldy One.
Balding?
Erica Scalavino.
Boldy One.
He said Boldy. Maybe he's very bold.
Pretty sure he meant bald.
I'm not thrilled about the Deion Branch trade because he is so often hurt on the field. I think that the organization should have gone hard after Vincent Jackson, but that's not who they are, so no surprise there. Regarding Butler, I think Bill should let him play at all times for him to learn. How can you bench him without hurting his confidence? That's kind of what Paul was saying.
I'm worried about that because I think he's a talented player who wasn't playing well that you're risking right now.
Plus, theoretically, you had two nice... If McCourty develops, which, as I've said, I believe he's in the honeymoon period that Baughton enjoyed a year ago, but you had two different guys. I think McCourty's far more physical, where I think Butler's more of a playmaker, breaks on the ball, less physical,
more
finesse.
Couldn't agree with
you more. And if they were both good, you'd have two pretty unique, a combination of corners that might be
set a foundation.
Up for a while. Yeah.
And I like
defense.
Kyle Arrington. I like his spunk. I like the way he sticks his nose in there. Why? I mean, it's unbelievable. He's unreal.
I know.
You said it, not me. Add that to the list of things that guy's going to think is gay about you.
All right. So if I said I came in last week, I mean, is that going to make you chuckle too?
In who?
Tom at Pittsburgh.
As long as you don't say Billy Bear before you like Kyle Arrington spunk.
Hi-ho. Don't you worry about it.
We have a email who says no more hi-ho.
No more hi-ho
or hey.
No more never heard of Billy Bear.
You know, six and a hay.
Actually,
no more six and a hay.
To tell you the full story, he said it's okay for you to say, but Paul shouldn't
say it. Yeah, I shouldn't say it because it's kind of undrafted rookie free agent out of LSU-ish.
I'm not sold. This is Tom from Pittsburgh. I'm not sold on Branch's homecoming, but I think Nick Cassero and the personnel department have a pretty good batting average this year, so I'll trust their judgment. Fans went off about Tracy White and Matt Slater.
And now
they're 1 and 2 respectively in special teams tackles.
Went off about Matthew Slater?
The 52nd and 53rd men on the roster.
I talked to both of them today. Benny was considered most, including me, as a fringe player, and many thought he should have been cut. Not many had much of an opinion on Woodhead until he stepped on the field, not to mention the criticism about taking two tight ends in the first four rounds, more specifically the Hernandez pick.
Who criticized
that? This is unreal. This is talk about making up criticism. Fred, you'd be proud of this guy. This is by you.
No. As for Branch, it should be mentioned that Hasselbeck hasn't been good or healthy since their Super Bowl appearance, and you're one injury away from having a second year in special teamer at wide receiver. We saw how that looked last year with Moss. Doesn't this also affirm Belichick's statement that they are, in fact, playing for this year? I think it does, and I don't think...
Again, anyone who thinks that they're not playing for this year? They're 3-1.
There have been some, just like... Other people have said that they've given up on the year.
Well, this just goes to show you that you can find someone to say something.
That was a common initial reaction.
We
heard Moss. You're not as good today,
because
so you don't think you can win this year.
I personally never heard anyone say that Aaron Hernandez was a bad pick.
Oh,
to the contrary, it was you got him in the fourth round because of his drug troubles at Florida.
Right.
And I never heard anybody say, what are you taking two tight ends for? People have been dying for turnover at tight end.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can just find someone to say negative things about anything.
Usually it's me.
Yeah, because you—that's That's how you roll.
That's why
they hate you.
I don't say Warren from London says Eric will be happy because Nike is going to take over the uniform thing from Reebok starting in 2012.
Is that official?
For real?
2012.
Is that official?
Nice.
Well,
I don't think based on what I see of their work in college, I don't think that's a nice thing.
Their stuff is better, but if they're allowed to design them and have any influence over that, then it's not good. Because their college stuff is butt ugly.
I wouldn't buy one of those college shirts on a
ass poo.
But maybe they're gonna they'll separate the college designs from
the
pro designs.
Would let them.
Right, that's what I mean.
Change.
Yeah.
So I think you'll just see higher quality merchandise material.
That's true.
The kids think Nike's cooler, so it'll sell better for the kids. You
know? That's good news.
It's better. That's the bottom line. It's better.
It is better.
Now, does this include everything?
They're not yet, so the Reebok still has two more years.
But does this include everything? Like,
footwear
be more Reebok? Will
Nike
sweatshirts?
New Era will have caps.
Do they have
caps
now?
From what I understand. I don't know.
Reebok has a lot
Reebok has Under Armour's in play. They're doing something.
When you buy stuff like that, I mean, I'm not being argumentative.
You're not trying to be argumentative.
No, but do you really?
More precisely.
I'm asking because I don't. I don't really even. I've never even noticed.
You don't look at labels?
Oh, I do.
Yes,
you
Reebok. Everything you wear is designer.
Yes. On merchandise, like team. If I bought a Patriots shirt.
Yes.
I wouldn't know if it was Reebok or
You'll still
Champion
be wearing the Nike
whoever.
In 5 years
Nike.
And your Reebok one will be waxing your car because it sucks.
Champion and Nike make
I
the
wouldn't
best.
Have any, I wouldn't have
on
any
the
idea.
E-box, hey.
I wouldn't
it's
have
Ray.
Any idea. And I'm not. I'm
it's
not
E-box Ray.
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 I'm
you
not
don't even know
how
the first letter
Pink
to
Black.
The end.
Who's
yeah.
Ray?
I wouldn't have any idea. Now, when you're talking about regular clothes, Fred, you're absolutely right.
E-box Ray, Tinksay.
Okay. You learn something every day.
Ike Nay. I can't say.
I wouldn't be able to tell you one thing different about my Patriots sweatshirts. As
it
opposed
does.
To my Nike
sweatshirts, like you can definitely tell the difference in quality.
I'll take your word for it. You guys obviously pay attention to
this. You
don't
want that thin stuff. You want the nice Champion.
Exactly. Right. I don't really care for Champion either because they shrink.
Yeah, they do. They do.
And especially for you. Ooh, that's an issue.
Put your arms
you almost said it, Fred.
Almost like a San Diego Zoo sweatshirt.
Right.
John at South Carolina. Hey, guys, in Bitter Man of Venom. Yes, I do mean Eric.
Oh,
nice.
Wow.
I'm always a little worried that's going to be
for sure
me.
That was going to be me.
Bitter Man of Venom.
Realist.
He spits like a cobra. how do we beat the Ravens' run game? Do you think they will look to run to the outside or up the middle? I know Vince can be a force, but will Wright, not sure who's starting, or Warren be able to handle the push? And finally, the Casserly thing. I missed the start of the show. Did you guys show Casserly all the venom you showed Bill Belichick when you thought he lied about Casserly?
What?
Well, if I find out that Casserly lied, yeah, I will.
Yeah.
Well, I certainly made. I called him a douche.
I don't know if Casserly's right.
Well,
I do think that if there was an argument, it wasn't just over hair. That's
but
all.
Do you think there's any chance that Casserly flat out lied, just made it up?
No.
Like.
No, I think he has sources.
I don't think there's much chance of that. No,
he talked to, you know, pick some player who he might have a, you know, Algie Crumpler or some random guy that's been around the league that somehow they cross paths.
Somebody set him up.
Yeah, he's going with a story he was told, which is why I think he should have said.
He should have said, according
to two sources, one a player, one a non-player told me that they went at it.
Agreed.
You can't just report it as. It happened last week because everybody assumes, wow, you really know this is
because
fact.
He's not a journalist.
Well, exactly.
Well,
that's what happens
he
when
is,
you,
though. He's
well,
paid he's, to be a
he's
journalist.
He's paid to be, but that doesn't
role.
Mean he
but
is.
But he's not a trained journalist.
He's not a trained
to know
one.
How to do that.
So that's
Andy.
The excuse?
No, I'm
no,
saying
but that's a reason.
It would be an aid in you to do that.
John
because
Brooks
you've been
here.
Doing it for so long.
Thanks, Fred.
But, I mean, he's been doing it a couple of years now. He has producers. He has guys that should say, hey,
they want him
do you know this
from
fact?
The hip. They want guys like that shooting from the hip without thinking much because they're afraid it'll hold them back. Blame the producers if you blame anybody.
If they're wrong.
But somebody fed Charlie and or CBS a load of you know what.
Because like last year, he was proven sort of true when it came out later that
agreed.
The ribs
and
the
that's
was
why
the
I
issue.
Said there
the,
had to
the
be
Patriots
something
are
probably
obviously
say.
Right. You know, they're pitting Mike Lombardi against Casserly because Lombardi sat down with Belichick last week. We hear he's sitting down with Belichick this week for this. So really, this organization is favoring Lombardi.
You think?
Oh yeah. Well, absolutely.
And it
you keep
should.
Your
it's
friends
NFL,
close.
So I'm wondering,
but it's also
who,
the NFL Network.
I'm wondering
too.
Who this person is that's giving Casserly info.
Could be anybody. Could be you.
My guess is players.
Yeah, but like I've never seen Casserly here. So like,
You don't have to be here
in this day and age.
How do they get his number? How do they get to, and,
hey, could I, could you put Charlie Cassidy on the phone?
He's not calling randomly. He has some tie to a guy through somebody.
Somebody said, hey, you ought to be aware this is going on. That's how it works. That's
or an agent of a player, and the player told his agent, and the agent tells Cassidy. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a million ways.
That's probably more accurate. But
so then Cassidy's just going with that?
He's not just calling the front desk and asking for a rough report.
He should have qualified it. He should have qualified.
Yeah, it sounds like he's getting it firsthand.
And he didn't qualify because he didn't have the training to know
that he needs to qualify. How do you know how he got it?
He didn't get it firsthand because he wasn't in the locker room when the fight occurred.
Yeah, I mean, obviously anything that...
He's an idiot.
Anything that he says is not firsthand because he's not here.
All right.
But if someone's telling him it happened, it happened.
All right.
Yes, you Why did. Don't we call him and get him on the show?
John, you're up next with Patriots show, Playbook. What's up?
We had him on last
Did you stay up all night and watch that game?
Most of it. Yeah, most of it.
Did you see anything beyond the Brett Favre catch?
What's that?
Did you see anything beyond the Brett Favre catch? Because Eric watched some of the game last night, too.
See, I watched some of the game. I saw that play when Favre caught the pass, and then I woke up and SportsCenter
was
on.
That was on?
And I was watching the highlights.
Yeah, kind of. That's how it was with me, too.
Honestly, last thing I consciously remember was the Jets scoring to make it 22-13.
You saw it way more than Eric did.
Yep.
Yeah. If I didn't have to be out last night, I probably wouldn't have seen much of that game. 9:15 start, I would have been probably. Yeah.
That was brutal.
I would have probably been.
I watched the whole damn thing.
Brutal. I did too. Yeah. I watched most of it at Comcast, and I watched the second half at home.
Rain and thunderstorms. Pansies.
Well, there. Did you see the shot from atop the stadium with all the lightning?
That was
pansies.
That was a little more than rain.
But then the second time it came, they didn't stop the game. They said, "You know what? We're
just lightning
keep going."
Came. What? Lightning
you're
came again
in there, aren't you? Well, but it's also harder to clear the stadium once it's.
I know, but you know.
They just didn't allow anybody in early. But
that's I'm waiting for us to have to do that here at some point in time, and I have to make that announcement.
I think we did once. It was a preseason game.
It was in Foxborough.
Lightning show.
Oh, was it?
Old Foxborough.
Oh, okay.
Not when I was here.
Yes, and everybody got out anyway because they knew it was Foxborough, all concrete and metal. Now, I don't know about here. We've never done it here. But seeing as, you know, I get snowballs thrown at me whenever I tell people to stop throwing snowballs, I can only imagine what it would be like if I say, you got to get out.
You
got to close the window, John.
You
got to close the window.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I would.
I would, too.
Stop saying first down. The ref says that.
Don't tell me what to say.
Remember when they were throwing snowballs at Phil Simms back in the old stadium? You could hear him on the air being like, oh, and like you'd hear the snowballs hitting the window.
In the Oakland game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, well, that's going to do it.
All right.
Fred's checking his voicemail.
That's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We will be back tomorrow, Wednesday. Stay tuned for John Rook.
When the boss says it.
For those that want Patriot Talk when other talk radio stations are talking other stuff, go to patriots.com and listen to PFW in Progress.
You have to do it. PFW in Progress on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.